Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Another glorious afternoon in what remains of the wild, wonderful hills of West By God, Virginia. A minute and a half past the hour. It is Friday. It is the 22nd day of May, 2009. And it's time to wander on up to the front porch. Front Porch Friday on the horn. Every bit as scintillating as all the other 4 days of the week, especially the ones where I actually don't play hooky and show up. I'm sorry about Monday and Tuesday. I'm still feeling pretty daggum guilty about that. And it's a holiday weekend. So perhaps an extra dose of relaxation for this Friday. Sure hope so. Long weekend. I have no reason to think that we won't be here Monday night, however. We'll do our Memorial Day remembering before 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Monday. What are you doing this Memorial Day weekend? You know, one of those weird little signs of the times and the crippling of state and county governments as a result of filthy right-wing Republican policies used to be, and many of you may remember this, swimming pool season started Memorial Day weekend. That's when the pool got filled up and the youngins come out and took to splashing and leaping off the diving board and doing the can openers and the belly busters and the cannonballs. No, at least not around here. Now, I don't know exactly when they will open the county swimming pool. But it will not make, there will be no cannonballs, corkscrews, can openers, or belly busters this Memorial Day weekend here. Pool ain't open. Don't know when it will be. Kind of a shame, really. Public swimming pools. Somehow or another, I think that they are, they're worth our effort, aren't they? A public swimming pool is worth every bit as much as, say, Grover drowned the government in the bathtub Norquist, wouldn't you say? But if it's pretty weather, swimming pool notwithstanding, I don't know. Maybe we'll take a walk down the rail trail here and let the kids splash about in Mill Creek and splash about in some of the acid mine drainage, you know, all that fun stuff. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll pack a picnic basket. Maybe I'll smoke a couple of racks of ribs. You know, devilishly difficult to keep lit, and you got to use a jumper cable for a clip for one of the things. Never mind, it's an old bad joke. Maybe. But I plan on us being here Monday evening, especially since I played hooky this last Monday evening, and boy, was that fun. That's what we refer to in the industry as sarcasm. But a little something for your... Well, this is more in the way of a public service. If you are going to be doing something like an outdoor barbecue, you know, fire up the grill, char some meat, that sort of thing, I have been asked to make a special mention of this because it is, as is usually the case with the for-profit media, not exactly way the hell up there on their radar. There is a Class 1 recall issued by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service. That recall was made May the 21st, which would be yesterday. Yep, just checking. Yeah, a Class 1 recall. The USDA says that the health risk in this Class 1 recall is high. The recall concerns 48 tons of beef. The recall is nationwide. Irony alert. It's being recalled by Valley Meats LLC of Coal Valley, Illinois. How about that? Poison hamburger from Coal Valley, Illinois. Somehow fitting, isn't it? Wonder if they were feeding the cattle sludge. No, no, it's nothing so nothing so complicated in this case. Nothing for the coal industry to worry about. We're not getting any more poison than we usually are by the filthy stuff. No, in this case, it's another one of those annoying little E. coli 157H7 contaminations, 48 tons of ground beef. 48 tons of ground beef. Well, I'm not going to get graphic, but you know how they got. See, you get E. coli contamination in hamburger when somebody at the for-profit meatpacking plant that is probably staffed by non-union labor, when somebody intermingles some guts and poo with the hamburger. And that's the case with Valley Meats LLC of Coal Valley, Illinois. They just somehow or another couldn't quite manage to keep the poo out of the hamburger, and it resulted in a 48-ton recall of their product. Don't worry, you and I, taxpayers, will probably wind up paying for this in some form of corporate welfare to Valley Meats LLC. What is subject to the recall, you might ask? I'm glad you asked. Or let me ask for you. Well, let's see here. Under the 3S brand, the numeral 3 followed by the letter S, under the 3S brand, am I good or what? I can make a beef recall interesting. Whoa, that was almost Rush Limbaugh-esque ego. I'm sorry. Under the 3S brand, we have Kmart shoppers, Walmart shoppers. I don't know where this stuff's being sold. It's probably just being served to your kids at school, so don't worry. Under the 3S brand, we have 10-pound cases containing a total of 40. Keep frozen 3S 100% ground beef patty. There's a case code. By the way, if you want to read all of these, if you want to check on all of these in case any of this filthy meat might be in your freezer, go to headonradionetwork.com. It's on the blog there. The title is 48-ton nationwide beef recall. 10-pound cases of 3S 60 patty. Keep frozen 3S 100% ground beef patty. 10-pound cases of 30 keep frozen 3S chopped beef sirloin steak burgers. 10-pound cases of 40 keep frozen 3S chopped beef sirloin steak burgers. But it's not just 3S brands. Because remember, American business now operates on the Soviet model, where everything is made in one place, but a jillion different brands are put on it, just to keep you, the eating American, on your culinary toes, shall we say. And so, consequently, not only are 3S brand products subject to the recall, but so are, and man, doesn't this just sound merkin, Doesn't this just sound inspiring? Doesn't this just sound manly? Grillmaster brand products. Grillmaster. 10-pound cases of Grillmasters containing a total of 100 keep frozen Grillmaster 100% ground beef patties. 10-pound cases with 20 of the same. 10-pound cases containing 30 of the same. 40 of the same. 50 of the same. 10-pound cases containing 60 of the same. 10-pound cases containing a total of 40 of the same keep frozen Grillmaster beef patties. Maybe time to change their name to Poo Master. I'm not sure, but... but no, it's not just 3S brand and Grillmaster. By God, that just sounds... Grillmaster. It gives me just a patriotic chill up my spine. Grillmaster. That's what you are on Memorial Day weekend. As you remember those who have sacrificed and died for our country, you are the Grillmaster. But it's also J&B brand products. I thought they made scotch. Never mind. 10.5-pound cases with 28, 6 ounce, 14, 12 ounce, 30, 40, 10. Let's put it this way. The fine folks at Valley Meats LLC, a Coal Valley, Illinois establishment, screwed up everything they made. Not just a little bit, everything. J&B brand products, Club brand products, KLUB brand products are subject to the recall. And these, this just sounds like some delicious poo-flavored burger. Thick and Savory brand products. They're being recalled. Ultimate brand products are being recalled. Yes, they are Ultimate poo-flavored burgers. And then there's a whole huge list of products with no specified brand name. God only knows where they went, and I wasn't kidding. They probably did wind up going to your kid's school. I mean, you know how it is. Yeah, they're only children. Yeah, give them the poo-flavored beef. Hey, that cow over there in the corner that can't stand up, what are we going to do with it? Oh, I say we chop it up and send it to the school children. And the Republicans would even gripe about that. That's perfectly good beef. You know, I was thinking the other day, it's time for me to purchase a copy because my old dog-eared copy is just not holding up that well. It is time for me to purchase a copy of Catch-22 and turn, and I know, they're young, but they can handle it, and turn Margie and Ferg onto it. Buy them each a copy. So they can learn about people like Milo Minderbinder. Who bought eggs in Malta for 4 cents and sold them in Beirut for 3 cents and made a profit, and everybody had a share. Yeah, I really should. Because this is like something out of Catch-22. Products with no specified name brand. In other words, you just really, unless you go to headonradionetwork.com and check these case code numbers, you can't be sure that the beef burgers you've got in your refrigerator that you're going to serve to friends and neighbors, you know, you've got the little Miller beer thing going on. No, that was old Milwaukee. The beer will flow. Yeah, and you're going to grill some burgers and some hot dogs. And so at least the hot dogs are still safe. Well, we won't talk about hot dogs. You don't know. You got to go to headonradionetwork.com. 48-ton beef recall is the blog post. And you got to check your codes. Because otherwise, those friends that you care about, that you've invited over for dinner, for a Memorial Day grill out, maybe leaving with a little more than the burgers you gave them. Oh, by the way, just in case you were wondering, well, Bob, you know, accidents can happen, yeah, but at least the fine folks of, what was the name of this outfit again? I would have forgotten it already. The fine folks of Valley Meats LLC, a Coal Valley, Illinois establishment. Well, at least they found it, Bob. That means they're on the job. Wrong. No, the problem was discovered through an epidemiological investigation of illnesses on May 13th, 2009. Food Safety Inspection Service was informed by the, I guess this would be the part, place where it says Valley Meats of Coal Valley, no, was informed by the Ohio Department of Health of a cluster of E. coli 0157H7 infections. The illnesses have been reported in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Illinois. The company spokes creep is at area code 309-799-7341. Well, we're very proud of our product here. We're proud of the ground beef patties, the ground sirloin patties, and we're proud of the poo. We're proud of the fact that we're non-union. Now, I'm speculating. I admit it. They may be union, but I'm guessing not. So, just take a, if you're going to put burgers on the grill and you're not pattying them out yourself, if you pull them out of the freezer, best check the box. Because we love you, and we don't want you getting sick. We don't want corporate America making any more of the rest of us any sicker than we already are, okay? Just don't. So there's that. You know, a word to the wise is sufficient, and this is a liberal, progressive, democratic, decent person audience. And as such, wisdom almost, yes, you are a wise audience, and therefore what we have done here is, in fact, sufficient. But imagine all the people out there who don't know about this. Imagine the singing and the music playing in the background, kids playing badminton or volleyball, and dad over there at the sizzling grill, proud of himself. All the while knowing, not knowing, never knowing, that corporate America has put a little dose of poison in their Memorial Day fun. Gotta love corporate America. Just gotta. So, you know, be wise. I guess the top story out there, that's, or at least it started blinking all over the place, I first heard about it from David in Tennessee, and then subsequently from our pal David in Maine, from News Ninja Gene, and a couple of other people as well. Our buddy Dennis let me in on this. The big deal is the big publicity push for Mancow Muller. Now, I don't know if you've ever listened to him. He's pretty much a right-wing horse's ass. You know, another one of those well-paid types that just... I don't know how people listen to it, but I guess they do. Apparently, and he was one of these little right-wing blatherskates who said that, you know, oh, well, you know, we're just pouring water on him. So he got himself waterboarded, Mancow did. And, of course, you know, it's radio, so the whole thing really was, I mean, it was a publicity stunt. It was all videoed and audioed with lots of, well, you'll hear it, I'm going to play you the audio. Lots of, you know, sound effects and stuff like that. Kind of like the one that Michael the Savage Wiener has. Ta-dum! Wiener. You know how it is. Stingers, I think, is what they're called in the business. But anyway, sounders, perhaps. He got himself waterboarded, and I'm just going to go ahead and run the audio so that you can have the benefit of hearing this. And it's really charming. I saw one commenter about it noting that, you know, people like you and me, we understand without having it done to us that waterboarding is torture because we are, what's that word the right wing hates so much? Oh, yes, empathetic. We are empathetic. We are capable of empathizing with people who aren't us. Now, we can figure it out. But no, a right-winger has to have it done to them before they can declare that it's torture. And there are some precious little moments in this, so let's get right to it.
All right, here we go. I should have a mic here somewhere. Do we know where my mic is?
Your mic is...
You've got this. You're going to be incapacitated, my friend.
Boy, I wish this was you.
Yeah, well, you lost.
hear the stinger? Da-da-da! Got to get Ferg in here with the electric guitar to make stingers for us every now and then. We'll teach him some rock and roll bar chords so he can do that. I might even let him use the Epiphone Les Paul Gold Top if he's really good. Anyway, boy, I wish this was you. Isn't that just like a right winger? I wish this was you. Not, you know, oh, I'm boldly going to, you know, it'll be okay. This is a totally safe situation. I wish this was you.
Do I lay down here?
You lay down here.
Okay.
And Mantow is laying down on the table. It's about a 7-foot table. His feet are now on a box. His feet are elevated. His feet are being... What are you doing, sir?
I am tying his feet up.
All right. His feet are being tied up.
I'm all ready to say uncle.
All right.
I already hate this.
And, of course, the radio history. What is it? I mean, you know, we play a little song now. Let's see. Last night I played Frank Sinatra, I think. What is it with the grinding gear metal? What is it with? Why do right wingers have to have that crap? Not to say that it's bad or anything, but what is it that makes that good? Just asking. Anyway. There's something that needs to be borne in mind with all this. This is all done under controlled circumstances. This is a totally controlled situation. No one's going to let Mancal Muller and his millions get hurt. No. So he knows it's all going to be okay.
The EMT is now standing, EMT Russ is now standing at Mancal's feet, ready to go in the event that there's something drastic. Oops, I almost knocked over the water there. Sergeant, that's a big bucket of water.
Oh, that's the small one. We're getting the big one.
There's more water?
Oh, yeah, that's the hurl trail right there when he decides to hurl out.
That's if I puke?
Yeah.
Mancow, there's a lot of water here.
All right.
Now, here's the thing. How long is the average person, can they take this?
About 14 seconds.
14 seconds?
That's the average. 14 seconds done properly, yeah.
And now, describe for our radio audience what's going to happen.
We have this shirt or this towel here we're going to put over his face, but not his mouth. We're just going to put it slightly over his nose. That way he can get most of the full effect.
So now, bear in mind, no one has subjected him to freezing cold or massively deafening, loud Barney the Dinosaur theme music or anything like that. He hasn't had this done to him for 83 days in a row. Or 83 times over the course of an entire month. Hasn't had it done to him every 4 to 6 hours. No, this is just once. He's got his street clothes on. And he's holding a little toy cow. See, for Mancow Muller. He's got a little toy cow in his hands. And he's going to drop that if he can't take it anymore because he can't talk. That's his safe cow. Yes. Isn't that sweet? Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to be able to talk, really, but he'll make noises?
Oh, he's probably going to moan like a little girl.
What are the chances of you having a flashback and doing something really weird here to me?
Oh, the chances are really good, man. We're batting good today.
Great.
Now, we've got to get your face covered here, all right?
Here we go.
We're going to get it nice.
You think we'd be more successful on the horn if we had that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun? If we did that, would that make us cooler? Would that make us smarter? Would it make us... I'm just asking.
Wet.
He's dunking the cloth in a bucket of water now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get ready to put it over your face, okay?
Okay.
All right, it's going over Mancow's
face. Should you cover my mouth, too?
No, we want to see you scream.
We want to see him scream, all right?
You know, there's one of those little Freudian moments in that line, isn't there? We want to see you scream. And, you know, it was said all lighthearted here in the controlled circumstances of that broadcast studio. But guess what? The screams were kind of cool, too, down at the concentration camp at Guantanamo. And remember, it's a lot like Arnold talking about the lamentations of the women. Really. When you think that you're finally getting revenge for the September 11th, 2001, the screaming is the good part. The loss of bowel control is the good part. The loss of bladder control is the good part. The part where they bleed is the best part. Oh, no, we want to hear you scream.
All right. All right, we're coming up here. All right, EMT Russ, you standing by?
Yes.
All right. All right, good luck, my friend.
Don't move your head, okay? One.
You going to hold my nose?
Now, bear in mind, he's also not bound. His hands are free. The only thing bound are his feet. Keep him from kicking somebody or maybe hurting something, hurting himself. His feet are bound. His hands are free. He's not strapped to the table. He can get away.
Yeah, I'm holding your nose. I'm holding his nose as he speaks. Okay.
Move down a little. You're squeezing the top of my nose. There you go.
Okay. There we go. Well, I have to get over here that way.
All right.
I can get a good grip.
All right. Here's the bucket of water in his hand. Right. The sergeant is over man cow's head.
We're gonna do it on five. Okay.
Okay.
One, two. I lied.
Ooh, water going. All right, that's it. That's it. All right.
Oh, God.
Man cow is soaked.
Oh.
Man cow is soaked. We all got a little water on him. How you doing, buddy?
Now, you can't see it because this is radio and not video. But at one point, he's not even, his head isn't moving, and he's not even pouring the water on his mouth. That's how big... That's what it is with these right wing, you know, cowards, right wingers.
All right.
Oh.
You're soaked, man.
How do you feel?
You want the EMT?
No.
I think this is what the French call the moment. No, the Spanish. The Spanish. It comes from bullfighting, I believe. I think this is what they refer to as the moment of truth.
The EMT's here.
No, it's okay. It is.
Mr. Brett.
I'm fine. It is way worse than I thought it would be. And it is way worse than I thought it would be. And that's no joke.
Would you consider that torture?
Look, all that's been done to this country, and I heard about water being dropped on someone's face, and I never considered torture. Even when I was laying there, I thought, this is going to be no big deal. I go swimming. It's going to be like being in the tub. It is such an odd feeling to have water poured down your nose and your mouth with your head back.
No, it's not odd, man cow. It's terrifying!
But that's just me.
It was instantaneous. I thought I could hold out 30 seconds, 60 seconds. It was instantaneous. And I don't want to say this. I do not want to say this. Absolutely torture.
You do?
Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
So you felt like you were going to drown?
When I was a kid, I drowned. I drowned.
Yeah. And in the summer, you made meat popsicles. We understand, man cow. The question is, okay, you think it was torture. That's an easy one for you to say. It was torture. Well, let's go ahead and hear the rest.
Yes, my brother pulled me out of this pool that I fell in, mm-hmm. and I had to be revived. And I remember the feeling, and that it is the feeling of drowning.
That was a flashback to your childhood there.
Worse than that. I mean, it was... Yeah,
you look shaken. You look shaken. Your hands are shaking a bit. I can see your hands shaking, and you're absolutely soaked. Your hair, your shirt, you're just completely soaked. And your eyes, you look pale.
I thought I could hold out, and it was instantaneous and horrific. And I really, look, I wouldn't have done this. If I knew it was going to be this bad, I would not have done it. Marine, thank you. I want to thank the EMT. I want to thank everybody for coming here today.
Let's get the EMT to check you out.
I want to thank Pastor Muncy for praying for me. I want to thank my wife for putting up with this BS. But honestly, no way in hell had I known that it was that bad, I would not have done that.
All right.
It wasn't even a gallon of water.
How much water was it?
Three quarters of a gallon.
All right. How do you hold
three quarters
up?
Of a pitcher?
Not too bad.
Just for those of you scoring at home and those listening alone, even. That was a half a gallon pitcher, okay? It wasn't even it was three quarters of a half gallon pitcher. Not three quarters of a gallon.
Well, I'm not professional, so I really can't say.
All right, we're gonna take a break here. The EMT is gonna check man cow out right now. We'll be back in just a few minutes here. Stay with
us. Now, just a little observation. He's made it clear that it was torture. You heard it and I heard it. Now, I didn't hear the rest of the show, so I don't have that in front of me, but in light of the fact that this is showing up at places like Raw Story and Huffington Post and Crooks and Liars and so forth. I got to figure that maybe somebody caught the rest of the program. And granted, I am, you know me. After all this time, I'm not going to sit here and tell you something that I don't know to be so, or I'm not going to speculate without letting you know that it's speculation. This is speculation. I got to figure that with everybody who picked this up, that if at some point along the way, Mancal Muller had gone the next step and said, yes, it's torture, and because it's torture, the people who did the torturing from the people in the room all the way to the people who ordered it need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and tried for their crimes, I'm guessing you would have heard about it somewhere. And I haven't seen it anywhere. If you have, let me know. Because that's the question. See, this was a little publicity stunt by a right-wing yammerhead who came to the conclusion that it's torture, but he only came to it after it was done to him. See, that's the thing about the phony Christian right. You know, and I want to thank the pastor for praying for me. Oh. He didn't need any prayer. Nobody was going to let anything happen to him. He was safe. He was as safe as if he were in the loving arms of his mother and she was waterboarding him, okay? He was safe. There was no one in that room who wanted to harm Mancal Muller. Even so, he had to have it done to himself before he could say without a doubt that it's torture. And to the best of my knowledge, even after saying without a doubt that it's torture, Mancal Muller did not reach the logical next step, and that is that people who torture in your name and my name not should, not ought, but must be prosecuted. If for no other reason than their own phony baloney Christian faith. Not that the Christian faith is phony baloney, but that their manifestation of it is. Because while they like to run around quoting the guy who was high on tent-making fumes, Paul, and some guy who was baffled by rain in the 30th century B.C., the guy the religion is named after came up with some real gems in the short period of time that he walked the dusty roads of Nazareth and Galilee. Things like, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me. Hey, Dick Cheney, Dick.
Yeah, it's still funny, ain't it, Ferg?
You had Jesus waterboarded. That's what that means! You had Jesus tortured again!
You've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me.
If you had Osama bin Laden's cab driver waterboarded, you had Jesus waterboarded.
That's what that means.
But then again, you know, there's a reason that Dick Cheney doesn't understand that. Because Dick Cheney serves Satan. Dick Cheney is a demon in his own right. That's why he is still on the planet. He is a devil. So I guess this is probably the best publicity that Mancal Muller has ever gotten. But you know what? I was born at night, not last night. And I know a publicity stunt when I see one. I know a con when I am witnessing one. And I know someone who is morally compromised when I hear one. And Mancal Muller is still morally compromised.
Because you can, even when you get to the point that you acknowledge that it's torture, if you do not then take the next moral leap, it's not even a leap, it's a step. It's just a jump to the left and then a step to the right and, you know, yeah, and pull your knees in tight and do the pelvic thrust. And, right. It's easy. The next step is the acknowledgement that torture is criminal conduct. And as we had a discussion of accessories before and after the fact on the program the other night, well, if you are aware of criminal conduct after the criminal conduct has been perpetrated and you do not do something about it, you become an accessory after the fact. And while that may not be as punishable as the crime itself, it is damned sure still a crime. And everyone in this country who acknowledges that this is torture and does not demand prosecution to the fullest extent of the law and justice is engaged in the continuation of an accessory after the fact to torture. Are we clear on that? God, I hope so. Phones are open, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you want to save us a nickel or a buck, 304-658-3333 is the direct dial number. Email rolls in to bobkincaid@gmail.com. And we go to Susan. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
How are you?
Well, I am officially, as of today, well, actually yesterday, I'm officially disabled.
You know, that sounds sad, but I have a feeling there might be some relief involved with that.
I've been fighting with Social Security for, oh, let me see, since 2005.
Wow. The wheels of justice grind slowly, but they grind exceeding fine. And that's mighty fine for you, Susan.
Dad. Talk about a pain in the arse. Fortunately, I was, for anyone who becomes disabled, do yourself a favor. Don't try and take on Social Security because they are set up to do one thing, and that's say no. Unless you are blind, an amputee, or a quad, or a paraplegic, you get an automatic no.
And then they find out whether or not you will lump it.
Exactly. So what I did. I didn't even bother with that. I called up a lawyer and said, you guys apply.
Well, that's what you have to do. I mean, and see, that's the thing. I know there are people who say, well, you know, the law ought to be so that I can do that without a lawyer. Law ought to be simple enough that I can understand it. You hear right-wingers talk like that all the time.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, do you expect your car to be so simple that that you can fix it yourself? Because if you do, you need a horse and buggy. And then you're still going to need a vet to fix the horse.
Exactly.
And if you need heart surgery, do you complain because you got to go to a heart surgeon to get it fixed and you can't do it yourself? Let me just reach in here and just pass it. Yeah, okay, I think I got it. With this kind of stuff, lawyers exist for a reason. And you know, if you had a lawyer who fights on the side of good and right and decency, because you know those are the lawyers who represent people in workers' comp and against corporations for negligent products and in car wrecks against insurance companies that are, you know, they're the God Almighty of saying no, insurance companies, and in Social Security. So congratulations. I'm proud for you.
What I did was I decided to follow my liberal inclinations, and so I hired a lawyer who advertised on liberal radio.
Very good.
And since I didn't know about the horn in 2005, that was on Air of America.
Sure. On your local affiliate there?
No, actually, it was on the national.
It was a national show, but was it online or?
No, well, I was listening to them online, but they were broadcasting the commercials nationally. I'm sure you've heard of them.
I may very well.
Starts with B.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not the reason I called.
And the reason is?
The reason I called is the Democrats' ingestion of Kool-Aid.
In what regard?
Well, Barack Obama's speech the other day.
Yesterday, yes.
Yeah. I got to tell you, that speech got me so depressed. I turned off the computer. I walked away from the television. And I stuck my nose in a historical level. I didn't want to have anything to do with politics at all. It was that depressing.
And
when I went to work for the Obama campaign in the primaries, the paid staffer took a big sheet of butcher paper and put it up on the wall, and she said to anybody who walked in, write down what you want from the Obama administration. And I was one of the first people who wrote on that. And I put one sentence, I want my Constitution back. And yesterday, I hear my president that I helped get elected start talking about preventative detention.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Indefinite preventative detention. This country was founded in part because of that kind of. Ferg. Put your fingers in your ears.
All right.
That kind of bullshit.
Oh, I heard that.
Pardon me.
He's a bad boy.
It's okay.
Yes, he is.
I don't mind. I hear the teacher say
it. And then I get on the... What really depressed me was I get on... You know, Rachel Maddow, she got on television. She immediately called him on it.
I mean, isn't preventative detention like something out of a Philip K. Dick novel? I mean, isn't that like isn't that like pre-crime or something?
Yeah, it's right out of the Minority Report. And I get on, what really depressed me is I get on Huffington Post and start reading the comments. You want to hear an example of one of the comments from a Democrat?
I can't wait.
This is a quote. This is a very sticky situation. I would not wish this mess, what to do with Gitmo, on anyone. Personally, I totally agree with what the president outlined in his speech. Far-left wingers will not be happy because they don't like military tribunals. Far-right wingers will not be happy because, well, because they just take the opposite side to Obama's stance anyway. He is handling this with care, rule of law, pragmatism, and balancing our national security with our moral principles. Not an easy task. The five categories of detainees is logical, and it shows he is thinking this through. It's bloody unconstitutional!
Well, it is that. And see, any time there's a general or an admiral or a field marshal in charge of a trial, it's not really a trial. It just isn't.
Yeah, it's called a stall chamber.
It's called a kangaroo court.
Well, yes, that too, but because...
And that's kind of, when you come right down to it, that's kind of insulting to the kangaroos.
Yeah, because these trials are secret, they're also called star chambers with a hanging judge. And the Democrats are swallowing this just like the Republicans swallowed their own Kool-Aid.
It is, to say the least, frustrating.
And I am so sick to my stomach. I just can't stand it. After Tuesday, I will no longer be a Democrat. I'll work toward liberal agenda, liberal causes, liberal needs, liberal candidates. But one of those candidates will not be Barack Obama. I will not vote for him in the primaries or in the general election, because I'm sure he will be renominated. I won't vote for a Republican either. I just won't vote for him.
And even if that means that Jeb Bush's chances of being reelected are greater. I mean, these are hard moral questions. Morals. Yeah, nobody trying to be a moral person with your vote is made increasingly difficult in this country, Susan.
If Barack Obama continues on this course, he has violated his oath, and that means, as far as I'm concerned, he's not my president.
Well, you want to hear something even along the same lines? I got this from your counterpart, News Ninja Gene, earlier today. I'm just going to read a few paragraphs from it. It's from Salon.com. It's by Bill Moyers and Michael Winship. Not exactly Johnny-come-latelys to the journalism game. It is dated today. And it reads as follows. In 2003, a young Illinois state senator named Barack Obama told an AFL-CIO meeting, quote, "I am a proponent of a single-payer universal health care program." Single-payer. Universal. That's health coverage like Medicare, but for everyone who wants it. Single-payer eliminates insurance companies as pricey middlemen. The government pays care providers directly. It's a system that polls consistently have shown the American people favoring by as much as 2-1. There was only one thing standing in the way, Obama said 6 years ago. All of you know, we might not get there immediately, because first, we have to take back the White House. We have to take back the Senate, and we have to take back the House. Fast forward 6 years. President Obama has everything he said was needed. Democrats in control of the executive branch and both chambers of Congress. So what's happened to single payer? A woman at his town hall meeting in New Mexico last week asked him exactly that. If I were starting a system from scratch, then I think that the idea of moving towards a single payer system could very well make sense. That's the kind of system that you have in most industrialized countries around the world. The only problem is that we're not starting from scratch. We have historically a tradition of employer-based health care, and although there are a lot of people who are not satisfied with their health care, the truth is that the vast majority of people currently get health care from their employers, and you've got this system that's already in place. We don't want a huge disruption as we go into health care reform where suddenly we're trying to completely reinvent one-sixth of the economy. So basically, single-payer health care has been taken out behind the barn and shot, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
I got some problems with those comments.
He's been bought.
I'm not going to say that, Susan. I'm going to say that he has been influenced by the same old dirty bastards that have been ruining stuff for years on end. You don't have to be bought. You don't have to be bought. You just have to be convinced.
First of all,
health care, according to the president, is one-sixth of the economy.
Huh?
That's what he said. We don't want a huge disruption as we go into health care reform where suddenly we're trying to completely reinvent one-sixth of the economy. That's what that means to me. So, there has to be a philosophical question addressed at that point. How in God's name do we allow a country that calls, that people insist on calling a Christian nation, how do we let that country allow profit and the profit motive to control one-sixth of an economy based on the agony, misery, illness, and death of our fellow Americans? How does that happen?
I would like to know that myself, since I have been told, in effect, on more than one occasion, to go home and die.
Then there's this statement. The vast majority of people currently get health care from their employers. Well, the fact that many people get health care from their employers does not preclude a single-payer system. The fact of the matter is, single-payer universal health care makes employers more profitable. It makes them better able to compete in the so-called global economy. Take health care out of the equation for Chrysler and GM and Ford, and they're playing on something much more closely akin to a level playing field with the rest of the world. They're certainly on a more level playing field with Japan and Germany.
Yep.
Because you know what? Mercedes-Benz, Daimler-Benz, Porsche, Volkswagen, Audi, Opel, they don't have to pay health care costs for their workers.
Exactly.
And it's not even necessarily true that everybody else started from a universal single-payer model and went forward. Not true at all. I find this very frustrating. You know, I spend what I fear some people might think an inordinate amount of time talking about the environmental issues, the humanistic issues that are on the line here in Appalachia. But this is a global and national program. And there is no greater issue facing us today than health care. Everything finds its way into the health care debate sooner or later, Susan.
Yeah.
The illnesses that are caused by coal find their way into the health care debate. The illnesses that are caused by for instance, the Smithfield flu and the way that we raise animals on these, what are they called, CAFOs, concentrated animal feed operations. The way we do that contributes to our health care crisis.
Yep.
The way we treat organized labor and make it difficult for people, working people, to exercise their First Amendment right to freedom of association and form unions has a profound effect on our health care. You know, health care costs are inflating on the lean side of the estimate, Susan, at 6% per year.
Yep.
Do you realize you can't, the best backed bond in the country, you can't buy that and get a 6% return on it?
I know. Here's something. I have insurance. It's through the, since I'm high risk, I have to go through the state insurance pool. But since I'm low income, the state being Oregon, it subsidizes my health insurance. God bless Oregon. However, even though I have insurance, I still can't afford to pay for some of my drugs that I need. I still can't afford to pay for some of the procedures I need, like tests to make sure my liver isn't failing.
Yeah, you really want that test. Yeah.
And so it's basically, I don't dare get sick, and with my history, sooner or later I'm going to end up on life support again, and then I lose my home. Fun and games. Thank you, Barack Obama. But what really bothers me about this whole thing is, A, the way the Democrats are swallowing this and drinking the Kool-Aid, and B, with this military commissions thing, it's not just unconstitutional, it's a dictatorship.
Well, that kind of court proceeding certainly is.
So, in effect, what we elected was not a Democrat. We elected another goddamn neocon. He may be named Barack Obama, but you scratch him, and underneath you can find George Bush. He just talks prettier.
I know that there are probably people out there who are saying, tried to tell you. Our pal Kate down on the Gulf Coast has tried to tell you people.
Hey, I never had any illusions about him being a liberal. I knew from day one that he was at the very best a centrist, but I figured, hey, he wasn't John McCain. But this, I'm kind of wondering if maybe McCain wouldn't have been better. At least McCain, might have had a shot having him kick off.
Yeah, President Palin. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God, that's right. Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right.
Yeah, so take it back, okay?
Yeah, I take that back.
You take that back!
But, you know, it was kind of a Hobson's choice.
Yeah, horse by the door or no horse at all.
Yeah, but I have to... Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, Bob. Please. Convince me I'm wrong. I really want to be wrong.
I can't, Susan. The only thing I can do is refer you to Malloy's comments of a week ago last night that say that, you know, take him at his word, like where healthcare is concerned, that if we were, you know, if we were just crafting a new program, yeah, bang, there it is. That's what we'd do. And that's very facile, frankly, and slightly insulting to say that. Because if you look behind it, you know, if you pull the curtain back on that little wizard, not him being a little wizard, the whole idea being the little wizard, you pull the curtain back on that, you know, if we were starting from scratch, this is what we'd do. What that means is because there are so many people, shareholders and boards of directors and the little people in the little cubicles who say no, 15-year-old child who needs a liver transplant, you can't have it, die. Because our economy depends on those people, we can't start thinking about a better way to do anything. The problem with that is that if you just extend, that's really, I know I'm notorious for connecting dots that don't appear to be connectable and may not even appear to be dots, but that's the same kind of thinking that gets you, we're looking forward and not back.
Yep.
It's the same thing. And you know, the only thing I can tell you, Susan, is that it is the 22nd day of May 2009, that he will be in office at least until January the 20th, 2013, and that all you and I can do is bust our asses to make it more possible for that start from scratch thing to happen.
I'm going to start busting my ass to go to work on Congress.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the flaw in those comments, Susan, of his, where healthcare is concerned, is that no one is saying we have to destroy the for-profit agony, misery, sickness, and death industry.
No.
In order to have single payer. We just put a publicly funded entity in place and make it available to those who want it. Put it in place with a 1% administration cost, just like, you know, right. As opposed to the 15 and 25% administration costs of the for-profit sickness, misery, agony, and death industry.
Yeah.
And let people choose. You know what? If the public plan sucks for air, nobody will choose it. They'll all go running over to that for-profit sickness, agony, misery, and death.
Yeah.
And if it works, however... If it works, that will force the for-profit sickness, agony, misery, and death business to rethink how it does business. At the end of the day, this comes home to roost once again on that most benighted little thoroughfare in America. This comes to home to roost at Wall Street, because we can't hurt Wall Street, even if it means saving our fellow working and non-working Americans.
Screw Wall Street. Wall Street is getting rich off of my back and the backs of everybody I know. Wall Street deserves to be taken apart.
I'm reading a comment here in the chat room that you might find interesting.
What?
In Australia, universal health care has been in existence since 1974. Private health insurance companies still operate. That's 35 years.
Like plastic surgery. You know, elective plastic surgery.
Sure, you know, when Carrie Prejean decides that they're not, they're still not big enough, she's got to pay. Now, in my perfect world, I'd let that be part of the universal system, too. But, you know, that's because I'm a liberal.
But, you know, that I got no problem with. And to me, the insurance companies, they can make money hand over fist like that. But, you know, and as far as...
No, but wait, Susan, back up. Understand that the way the for-profit sickness, agony, misery, and death industry works is by not paying. When you've got 40% overhead, you don't make any money by paying for procedures. You make your money by denying them. Just like West Virginia, we had a functioning public workers' compensation system that our so-called Democratic governor dismantled in his first term, turned into a private for-profit enterprise that now has repo companies going and pulling wheelchairs out from under disabled people. I'm not kidding.
I'm not surprised. I really am not surprised. And, you know, I find Barack Obama's comment about the difficulty in putting in a system totally ridiculous because he doesn't need to. You just sign everybody up for Medicare.
Or allow them to.
Sorry.
I don't want to force them little right-wingers that are so fond of being denied coverage. I don't want to force them to get be able to get medical treatment and get well if they want to sit there and suffer in agony and feel good about what good capitalists they are. I don't want to force them into a public system.
Sure. But the rest of us, I'd say, everybody, you want to sign up for Medicaid? Line forms here.
Yeah.
Get your pens out.
And I want to see the auto industry rebloom as a result. I want to see American manufacturing actually able to compete on a global scale as a result. You know, they talk about how much it costs to put in environmentally conscious waste treatment, you know, non-poison systems, things like that. Well, you know what? Take the healthcare monkey off of their backs, and they'll be able to afford them, and they won't even have.
And they won't have
anything to gripe about.
Obama talks about how much it would cost, you know, putting people out of work from the insurance companies if you go to single payer. Well, he doesn't seem to be too concerned about all those auto workers he's putting out of work.
Point taken.
Of course, then again, those auto workers made more money than those office drones in their cubicles made. They were making probably minimum wage.
True. Susan, I got a roll, dear.
Yep. Love to Agnes.
Congratulations. Sincerely, congratulations, Susan. That's got to be a huge weight off of you and Donald's mind, and I'm so proud for you.
Yeah, it is, and... One other milestone, I'm now officially old. My birthday was on the 3rd. I'm now 60.
Oh, bless your heart.
Creak, creak, creak.
Well, you know, a couple more years before you get to make the long... in a couple of years, you won't be disabled anymore.
No, that's true. In a couple of years, I'll be retired.
Yes. Did you know you could retire from disability?
Weird.
Ain't
it? Well.
We'll talk to you soon. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Watch out for them Coal Valley hamburgers. Really, watch out. Rolling right along. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, getting hungry? I know I am. Say, Bob, would you, the coloration of this burger looks a little, a tad vivid. Could you mind throwing mine back on the grill for another 2 hours?
Yeah, could you like maybe put this in, go back and autoclave my burger for a little bit.
I'll be back for it next week. That's a boy. Yeah, I've never seen one quite like that. Just explain to me why anybody even bothers to mess around with hamburgers when you can have ribs or chicken. I don't understand people like this.
What? But then again, Reverbo, the well-made hamburger is a lost art. Now, if you're sitting here saying that to me about a Wendy burger or a clown burger or a king burger or any, yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. On the other hand, were you and I to magically teleport to Florence, Alabama about lunchtime, and I took you down on the east side, down in
Don't
the old
do
town.
This. Don't do this, please.
And took you to a little place called Staggs's Grocery.
I haven't eaten.
It's going to hurt.
I know. Go ahead.
That, sir, is a hamburger. It's a hamburger from 50 years ago. Honest to God, it is.
I'll admit, I love those things. But you have to also agree, by comparison, it's not even close. But yes. Taken on their own, a well-done...
I am toying, even as we speak, with the idea of rubbing and marinating and then smoking some ribs.
Have you ever tried... I knew this guy that bought that liquid smoke, only it wasn't the brown-colored kind. He found some, a little lower downtown, if you get my drift, and it was in some kind of a bottle, and it was clear. And he would put his ribs in a bag and drop a few of that after he trimmed them and did whatever he did with them, and drop some drops of that in there and tie up the plastic bag for like.
Wow, no, I mean I've always relied on the solid smoke reduced to a gaseous form. I'm a geek that way, but I'll bet that sounds good. It's especially like during winter when you don't want to stand out in the sleet and the snow to do ribs. If you can have something like that and do them in the oven, you're right there.
Oh, you know, along these lines, in about 90 days, of course, you can be cooking up those tasty burgers in our national parks next to your loaded arsenal that you've been away.
Did you notice that?
Yeah. So I was thinking of. You know, what else could you call these yummy prepackaged, like you said, that you mentioned the Grill Master? That's what they. That's
Grill Master. Yeah, you need one of those Mancow Muller stingers. Grill Master. Da-na-na!
You could call them if you're planning on packing these on into the having a nice barbecue in the park next to your your five. Raccoon rifles that you brought in with you.
Yeah, or maybe you go to the national park with your next door neighbors, the Moos, that we were talking about last night, who unload shotguns on 7-year-old boys. Yeah.
I didn't listen last night, but I'm sure I'm getting.
Mercifully, you missed it.
Yeah. Well, you could call. Would you? Hey, pick me up a couple of pounds of that Bangmaster ground beef, will you, there, Raymond?
Yeah.
Possibly the Grill Blaster, and then I have to be careful pronouncing this one. I thought of perhaps Patty Loader, and one has to be careful pronouncing that. But those are all excellent, excellent cuts of beef for the man who has everything but his loaded guns in the national park.
Yeah. Well, or for the man who has everything but a functioning digestive tract.
I thought national parks, the concept was a sanctuary from shit like that.
Well, it's kind of. I mean, yeah. There was and I don't think it's apocryphal. I think it really happened. Teddy Roosevelt finally met with John Muir. And John Muir looked, and if there was anybody who could look Teddy Roosevelt in the eye and make him feel about two, about foot tall, probably John Muir. John Muir looked him in the eye and said, Mr. President, when are you going to get over this childish fascination with conservation and start and get in with the rest of the grown-ups and talk about preservation? And Yellowstone was born. And Teddy was quite the great white hunter.
Yeah, he was.
And I don't think at any point he ever envisioned guns in his park. You know, and there are permutations on this, Reverbo, that I don't know if you have fully contemplated. Think for instance, the Everglades National Park. That is a national park, isn't it?
I've been there. It's really, really moist.
Yes. Well, it is in Florida. And Florida has that wild-ass law that says that if somebody makes you even nervous enough to dribble, to feel like you might dribble in your shorts, you've got a right to blow their brains out.
Good Lord.
So let's take a gun nut and arm them to the teeth. Put them in the Everglades and have somebody walk up through the grasses from the Seminole Nation. You predict the outcome.
I see where you're going with this. Yeah, you just don't like the cut of their jib, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of surprised. Come up on me sort of all sudden like.
Well, he's crafty and sneaky, them engines.
That's right. Oh, yeah, this can only have a bad ending. And what I like about it is that they do these things the same way. Here we've got this bill. They just kind of pee at, oh, yeah, I got this. We're going to protect some, we got a credit card protection, consumer protection bill. OPS, we're just going to throw in this business about you can carry loaded firearms into national parks and, I'm sure they were.
Have you? I've been reading, and what did they call it back in? Reading for comprehension. I've been reading for comprehension on the story of this, and I have not, to my satisfaction, found anything that explains to me how that stupid little bit of nonsense wound up in the credit card bill.
That's the way. It is.
How did Nancy Pelosi and or Harry Reid let that happen?
Is this what's called what everybody keeps talking about when they talk about line item vetoes?
No.
No, that's not it. How do you prevent this stuff's been going?
Well, a line item veto could have done that. Possibly.
Hmm. I mean, at the 11th hour when people throw in, Senator Robert Byrd was probably a master at this. I mean, their people made a living doing crap like this. You know. Tossing in all this stuff. Look at all the stuff they tossed into the first bailout bill that old Hank Paulson was cooked up. Remember that?
Sadly, yes.
Yeah, I mean, when you know that everybody's going to vote yes on something, we'll just start throwing in the kitchen sink. This brings up a point that I wanted to toss by you. And the concept here is design flaws in our Constitution. Design flaws by the founding fathers.
Oh, I think there's...
Clearly, this is a design flaw to me.
It is and it isn't. For me, Reverbo, the most profound design flaw in the Constitution of the United States lies in the unstated assumptions that the framers made.
Okay.
And if you look through the interpretive history of the Constitution, you will find a lot of instances, most recently, for instance, with the D.C. gun ban decision, you will find instances where the framers crafted land, and these were smart people and, frankly, probably in the long run more literate than we. They did not have the technical knowledge and the scientific discoveries behind them that we have, but they had a profound degree of literacy and understanding of the meanings that words have. Remember back when when the Republicans were chasing Bill Clinton, hollering words mean things?
Yeah, Rush was huge. That was his little mantra.
Right. Well, words do mean things. And sometimes words don't mean things, too. For instance, take, and it'll take me just a second here, so, you know, please bear with me. Take, for instance, the rather plain language of the Fourth Amendment. Okay? It's a short little amendment. That's why it's an amendment. This is it. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Doesn't that seem relatively simple to you?
Pretty succinct. Pretty good. Yeah. Simple. I understand it.
I do, too. You can hand this to a seventh grader, and they'll understand it. I've done it.
You can take down Murder Incorporated with stuff like that and be cool, be okay with it.
Yeah. However, that very simple piece of text has been interpreted over the years to mean it's been interpreted almost right out of existence by means of queries over what unreasonable means and whether or not something is a search or whether or not something is a seizure and whether or not something is a violation and whether or not it was a warrant and what probable cause means and what particular means when we're talking about describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized, to the point that the Fourth Amendment practically does not exist anymore, and you wind up with crap like, what the Bush administration did for 8 years, which was just pretend that it doesn't exist. I can't remember the case. U.S. v. Leon. U.S. v. Leon. In which the authorities went barreling through the wrong darn door and roughed up a bunch of people. Drug raid, probably.
And
the people sued. And the state came in and said, hey, look, shit happens. It was an honest mistake. Really, that was their defense, Reverbo. It was an honest mistake. Now, we just read the text of the Fourth Amendment, didn't we?
We did.
Did you hear honest mistake in there?
At the end, maybe. I wasn't paying attention.
No, sorry. No. No, we didn't drop any packets between you and me. It's not there.
Yeah, Senator Kincaid, I was sure I heard something about honest mistake at the end there.
What you heard, Senator Reverbo, what you heard there was the good faith exception. See, that whole Fourth Amendment there, Senator Reverbo, it's got these imaginary parentheses around it. And them imaginary parentheses is a good faith exception.
Really, no kidding. The majority in U.S. v. Leon held that the cops can do just about anything they want to in the way of searching you, seizing you, ransacking you, turning you inside out and upside down, as long as they come in later and say, but we did it in good faith. There is an entire, thanks to U.S. v. Leon, there is an entire good faith exception to the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
I don't think I'm down with that.
Oh, I'm not either.
Because I remember something like this happened when I was in Colorado, and what can happen badly in these things is the person whose home is invaded freaks out, grabs his gun, of course, and starts defending his life. And then the cops start blowing everybody away. And that's called ending badly.
That's yes, yes, it is.
We got the wrong address. It was next door.
Consider the granny who got blown away in Atlanta. Cops acting on what is on what the Supreme Court said was A-OK by them, a no-knock warrant where they just go through the door. Granny is sitting there, 92 years old, and gets off a couple of rounds before they perforate her with their automatic weapons.
God, all you can think of at the moment is good for her. I mean, that was all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she went. If
I mean, that story was written before it ever started. You knew how that was going to go, yeah.
And the crazy thing is, when the no-knock warrant thing came down, I think months before that story broke, I was on the air saying, you know, this is going to end badly because there's going to be a toddler by the door who's going to get its brain smashed in when the cops blow through. And instead, it just turned out to be a 92-year-old grandmother.
Well, you know.
And you know what? They charged and tried the cops, and they didn't even think about going for the death penalty.
Yeah, well, we've talked about.
I think they got off with man's laughter.
Yeah, we know how that ends up too. That how they all have each other's back. They say you know, the law is just for rich people. It's also for people who are in the law, in law enforcement. They don't usually bust people often enough for that kind of stuff from me. But you know, there's also a cap on the amount you can collect from the government too.
Oh gosh, yes. There's a thing out there that very few people know about, and it's a real booger. It's a doozy. It's a real catch 22. It's called the Federal Tort Claims Act. And unless you are a lawyer who is akin to some sort of Dungeons and Dragons level 76 wizard lawyer. Negotiating the Federal Tort Claims Act is just a howling booger.
What does that say in a nutshell, if you can possibly do this?
Federal Tort Claims Act says you can't sue the government except through the Federal Tort Claims Act.
Oh. You
think if the federal government has committed a tort against you, you must use the procedures outlined in the Federal Tort Claims Act in order to make a claim for damages.
You better reserve that Joseph Heller book like you were talking about.
I think, yes. I'm deadly in earnest. You know what I think I'll do? I think I'm going to start working on the Kincaid Library. You know how there's that, you know, there's this library and that, the Scripps Library and all that stuff. I'm going to work on the Kincaid Library, and I'm going to start buying 3 copies of everything. Kind of the way that, you know, mothers start hope chests for their daughters.
I like this idea.
I'm going to start a hope shelf for my children. Hope the hell they read it.
Yeah.
Was it you and I that had the book list discussion a few weeks ago?
Yeah, it was us.
Yeah, I thought so. and I'll take email suggestions from the audience, bobkincaid@gmail.com, of what needs to be on Bob's hope bookshelf. So far, I've got all the King's Men. Huckleberry Finn, Catch 22. I've got The Sun Also Rises. I've got Look Homeward, Angel. I've got The Aztec, just because. I've got The Sound and the Fury. I think you would prefer As I Lay Dying, but
no, I had trouble with him. They made us read him in high school too early, and we all had trouble with him.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I've said before, there ain't going to be no Thomas Pynchon.
No. That's just for the advanced class, the advanced shelf.
Yeah, that's the lodge handshake after you've read everything else.
Well, what are you going to do with the Jode family? You going to put them up there?
Oh, I think the Jode's got to be up there. And frankly, a book that maybe not so many people are familiar with also has to be on that list, a book by West Virginia author Denise Jardina called Storming Heaven. I would recommend that to anyone. Breathtaking.
Well, this has to be subjective, and then you just have to trust that the person who's assembling this... these shelves is
is dependable and knows and insightful.
Exactly.
And you're going to have to put a Cadillac up there at some point, too.
Yeah. And you know what? Rather than on the road, I think I would be more inclined to put Dharma Bums on there.
Yeah. You don't necessarily have to be, you know, there's the temptation, of course, is to play it safe and put Johnny B. Good when it's a better call would be, say, Maybelline or something like that.
Right. You have such a talent for this.
I know. We're going to miss you. What's happening over there? We got to make some calls to Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon and Bobby Redford and Oprah. We got to get these people to start writing checks and buying radio stations.
Yeah, we do.
We're doing this wrong.
I'm told To Kill a Mockingbird's got to be on there. How did I miss that? Thank you, David. And All Over But the Shouting.
Never mind any of this. This topic's better. We got to also have a movie shelf, a DVD shelf. You know, obviously, we got to have that.
You're absolutely right. And The Magic Christian happens this weekend, by the way.
You won't be disappointed.
Oh, I know. It's been a while, but I know. I know.
It's mighty good, that scene where he's got this incredible game that he has in his dining room, and he has, this is huge, in front of him is this table on which he's got all these models of European cathedrals. Remember this?
Yes.
And he's got a kind of a helmet on. He's got to put on this like soldier gear, and there's these guns all around the table, and he spends the game is to just blow up as many churches and cathedrals as you can. You're going to love this.
I'm actually, you know, it's a long weekend. I think Agnes and I will, like, cuddle up in, no cuddling. This is a family program. We'll watch it after everybody's gone to sleep so we can actually enjoy it. We've started something here, Reverbo. Our buddy Rick suggests Voltaire's Bastards.
You're going to get some great suggestions. You opened up. This is good. This is really good.
A couple of great science fictions from Susan. Lone Star Planet and Space Viking, both by H. Beam Piper. Yep, I'm there.
You're gonna have to set this up by category. I mean, you're gonna have some like poli sci. You're gonna have science fiction. I'm thinking you gotta have some H. L. Mencken up there. You gotta have some Kurt Vonnegut up there.
Yeah, Vonnegut's gotta be there.
Gotta be there. So, this is good.
I think this is
your legacy. This is even better than Bob the Radio Guy. This is big. This is big.
And we got to have some obscure stuff. Hence the Storming Heaven thing. Everybody should read that who's interested in. And you know, in the nonfiction, on the nonfiction shelf, the United States of Appalachia has to be just about the first book to go in it, alongside A People's History of the United States.
Here's an obscure one. How about you got to have short masterpieces of blimp fiction by Reverbo? That's really rare.
If that's available in any form, it will be on the shelf. I promise you.
Yeah, sport blimping is not a not too many people know about that.
Just as very few people are enlightened as to the manifest mysteries of the worship of the possum goddess.
Exactly. This is going to open up some eyes and some brains.
But you're right. And let me just throw this in here. We're safe. We're safe through June. Now, that doesn't mean everybody gets to take a deep breath and relax, but we're safe through June.
Well, you weren't safe through June a couple of days ago.
No, we weren't.
This is tough. I mean, Obama did it with $20 here and there, but he was more popular than you. I'm sorry that I had to tell you that.
Well, he's a hell of a lot more handsome with his shirt off, I can tell you that.
We have good vocabularies, and we read, and we have good taste in books. He's smarter than us, too.
Wow, you're really making that. Come on.
I'm sorry. You had to start with the cheeseburgers in Alabama, which is, I think, a country western song or something. Here's another design flaw I want to toss by you, but it's not my idea.
Okay.
I was reading about torture
funny on all the blogs I go to, and someone, I don't remember where this was, maybe on Coase or something, was talking about this. Got me to thinking, so what do you think about this one? When the United States, it's the separation of powers, okay, when we declare war, technically, the executive branch cannot do that. The Congress, that has to be a joint effort, right?
No, it's not even a joint effort.
Oh, only Congress?
Only Congress can declare war.
Oh. Well, maybe, because this person who the comment was, and I'll just read this to you, and maybe this guy, this person's wrong. He said, unlike the war powers, the framers didn't divide internal enforcement powers between the branches. And here's the important part. Leaving the executive sole power to decline to enforce any law against any member of its own branch. Right? So that means this is how you... Sorry, my phone was almost going, but this is how you get people like Bush, who aren't going to, right, it's almost like I'm not going after anyone on my staff, we have executive privilege, all of this stuff.
That's possible.
I don't know if that, this is making sense or not.
No, it does, it's just that's got to get all the way through the circuitry.
But then the comments ad infinitum. Someone said, well, the mechanism is supposed to be impeachment.
It is.
Impeachment,
you know, the one thing you've got to always bear, anytime you think about impeachment, you have to say to yourself immediately thereafter, which is a political remedy. It is a political remedy available only during the tenure of the official. There's nothing in the Constitution that confers immunity on an ex-president. But impeachment is the means by which one removes a bad actor. And, you know, the Federalist Papers are rife with commentary about why impeachment was included. Because you were talking about, I mean, this whole thing is centering, Reverbo, on design flaws in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were cognizant of that possibility. And they tried to build a mechanism in whereby a flawed elected representative could be removed from his, presumptively his at that point in time, ability to do further harm.
But it's by means of a legal structure, though. There would be a crime committed, crimes and misdemeanors, whatever.
A political structure.
You're making a distinction here between political and legal.
Yeah, because it's not, because impeachment involves two of the three branches, ultimately. Impeachment begins in the House with a bill of impeachment. If the bill of impeachment is passed, it is conveyed to the Senate,
mm-hmm.
where the Senate is to try the impeached individual, and the trial is to be judged by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. You know, letting judges be judges. The idea, how that works, though, maybe that's the design flaw. But I think when the framers, and this is speculation, you know, warning. When the framers left that vague, they did so deliberately. You know, shall be impeached by the House and tried by the Senate. Now, when you say try, within the context of a judicial proceeding, the trier of fact in our system is, of course, the jury. So that means that the Senate, at least theoretically, sits as the jury, a jury of the whole, if you will. All 100 senators sitting as the jury. The prosecution, if you think of the bill of impeachment as being like an indictment, the prosecution being carried forward by the House, and the trier of law being the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. Because in any trial, the trier of fact is the jury, and the trier of law is the judge, unless it is a bench trial in which the judge is both the trier of fact and the trier of law.
You could can elect to not be tried by it, have a jury trial if you want.
You can waive it, but you have to affirmatively waive it.
But the components then are there for a classic, a traditional trial legal in a court of law, essentially.
Yeah. But, you know, when they said high crimes and misdemeanors,
yeah.
That was one of those moments of deliberate vagueness. And that's also a function, I think, of their idealism. Because to go back to my original point, there are certain assumptions that these very intelligent men made about language. I don't think they ever imagined that the Supreme Court would take up its own time to determine the meaning of particularly in regard to our Fourth Amendment example.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't think... And the most howling example, like I said, of the D.C. gun ban case, the Second Amendment, which is shorter by half than the Fourth. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, you and I probably remember sentence diagramming.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you diagram the Second Amendment, you find out that some things are dependent clauses and some things are independent clauses. For instance, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state is a dependent clause to the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, okay. If I recall correctly. It is also, from a legal standpoint, something called a condition precedent. Oh, the things they do to you in 3 years of law school. You learn about conditions precedent and conditions subsequent and superseding causes and overriding causes and a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state is a condition precedent to the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. In other words, there's no point to the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed is preceded by the presumption that home defense will be managed by a well-regulated militia. This isn't, and see, that's the right-wing Reverbo has done such a thorough job of absolutely turning topsy-turvy and ass-backwards everything about this country so that people now think that the Second Amendment is about our right to own guns, right? I mean, come on, ask a liberal, ask a conservative. Jesus, ask a John Bircher or a libertarian who just wants to be conservative and smoke dope. Ask any of them.
And of course they do even do it in a more ridiculous way. They tell you that Obama is, quote, going to take your guns away. The
yes.
Liberals are actually going to take those guns away from you.
And that's against the Second Amendment, I'm telling you. And that's why we got to have the guns so we can shoot Obama when he comes to take our guns away.
Especially if that's in a national park.
Right.
Don't even try to come after me in a national park, mister.
Because I'm going down to the Everglades and they've got alligators and I ain't going down there with anything short of a firearm that'll pierce an elephant's hide. Them things are nasty.
Doesn't this go to the idea that the people are in control of the government in this country? And this is in case the government commits crimes against the people.
Yes, but also...
What's the point of this?
Well, we don't take advantage, Reverbo, of the things that are handed to us. Because now that it's legal to carry guns in national parks, the first thing, you know what should happen? A liberal group should announce its intention to form the well-regulated Yellowstone Militia.
I like it.
The well-regulated Yosemite Militia. The well-regulated Smoky Mountains Militia. Here, close to where I am, I think we'll have to start the well-regulated New River Gorge Militia. You know, I'm so glad you brought this up because I've been thinking about it, Reverbo.
This has to be done right away.
People come here, you know, people come to my neck of the woods to rock climb, to ride trails on bicycles. There's some horseback riding around.
Kayaking on those.
And then they get on those rivers. And you know what? On those rivers, you are absolutely defenseless. And those are rubber rafts. And some terrorist could be sitting on a rock with one of them high-powered 50-caliber rifles, and he could just shoot your raft and kill you in the middle of a rapid. Not even hitting you with the bullet, just hitting your raft and making you drowned.
And even though we've never actually caught any of them guys in any of these national parks, don't mean that they ain't hiding there. As
that just means they've been real good at keeping it secret, because that's how they are.
Those Indians, yeah, yeah. Well, they could throw like a water moccasin or something up at you. You're too busy paddling.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you're snake lunch.
That's right. Oh, God, I love it. I can just see there's going to be some cool uniforms and blazers. I think blazers. For
you know, see, you know, it's moments like this that I really do wish I had those 5 million people a day that Flush Flimball has.
Yeah, but you know the dirty secret to that, those figures, don't you? They're
yeah.
all 67 years old and older. That's what they are.
Well, not just that. They're also all Arbitron numbers. And Arbitron, whatever they say, Arbitron will never say that our ratings necessarily represent real facts. They are only statistics.
That's really useful.
See, that's one of the cool things that the buggy whip people, the terrestrial radio people haven't figured out yet. And I mean, I'm not trying to put anybody off because we don't do this. But with internet radio, you can know exactly how many people are listening, for how long, and where they are.
Oh, the hit counter on your page.
Well, not just that. I mean, you can know how long they stayed connected. If I was obsessive, compulsive, and anal retentive enough, I could go in and find out how many people turn off every time I start getting all juvenile with my son about Dick Cheney. Because, you know, every time I say Dick Cheney, he starts laughing because he's 13.
Well, we all do. But it's the times that you head into jokes about cold medications that I think people have a real problem with.
Yeah, the Coricidin thing, yeah, I know.
Oh, God.
you got to forgive me. I was raised on that stuff, okay? I mean, I was sickly as a child, and every time I turned around, I was being handed Coricidin.
I'm just saying that those are the kind of things that just go over people's heads like a Hoax fastball. And I get them. And I'm over here, I'm typing away. As soon as I hear him, I go, no, that's it. I can't, that's enough of this. Tony, I can't deal with this anymore.
Well, yeah.
Hey, real quick, two books, essential books for the Head on the Kincaid Legacy Library have to be the entire, or how about this, companion volumes, is the entire unabridged Oxford English Dictionary.
Yes.
And the largest thesaurus you can find.
Absolutely.
Those are essential.
And apparently Albert's not listening right now because he would be on me like a duck on a June bug going, where's Dune? Where's Dune?
Well, I know. He's seen Wire. You just got to love this guy. God.
I know.
Oh, my.
But it would, wouldn't it be fun to have, you know, 5 million people and get a bunch of liberals out there forming national park well-regulated militias? I mean, you know, really, there's a possibility, and see, that's the thing, when you talk about comedy, it's not nearly as funny as doing it, but because I lack the staff and the underpinnings that go with Stephen Colbert or Jon Stewart, can't you just see John Oliver done up in Revolutionary era red coat garb? With one of those long-ass muskets, with one of those long-ass bayonets on the end of it, marching in to be the well-regulated militia of Yellowstone Park?
It would just be priceless.
Exercising our Second Amendment? But that's the larger theme that I was getting at there. And that is, you know, ask anybody, liberal, conservative, whatever, ask them what the Second Amendment's about, and they'll say, it's about our right to own guns. Oh, it's about the right to own guns. But, you know, I don't think we need to own handguns. We need to ban the handguns. Liberal, conservative, it's about the right to own guns. Bullshit. It's about having a militia.
That's what I always thought. By the way, can you rent guns anywhere?
No, I don't think so. Well, I don't know. Maybe, I know you can rent paintball guns and stuff when you go down to, you know, Paintballs R Us.
That's the one in there in that case, that Browning High Power. Yeah, I just need to rent it for a couple of hours.
I'll tell you what, I'll either bring it right back or it'll be laying right next to me. How's that?
God, when Oswald bought that Mannlicher Carcano or wherever it was, he bought that thing in the mail.
Yeah, wasn't it from a sporting goods store in Wisconsin?
God, when people talk about the good old days, I guess that's what they're talking about. Yeah. Well, you used to be able to buy, like, you know, M80s and cherry bombs in the mail, too, and that was a good idea.
You know what I loved? There were these little things. They didn't look like firecrackers. They were just little sticks. They were almost the length of a cigarette, but not quite as big around. And they were called B2 bombs. And they were great because they had a scratch plate on the end instead of a fuse, so you could light them just by running them across a matchbook striker.
Oh, man.
And then they wouldn't immediately get ready to blow up. They were half smoke bomb and half explosive. And here's the cool part. They kept burning underwater.
Oh, God, it doesn't get cooler than that.
So here's what happens. Using the smoker part as the propulsion, young Bob Kincaid, out in the creek one day with his model of the USS Missouri.
Oh, here we go.
Took the stick from a bottle rocket and affixed a B-2 bomb instead. A couple, actually, to come up with the propulsion. And I torpedoed the Missouri.
Oh, God. I was just thinking that
and I'm standing there in the water going, bang, 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 you know, with the klaxon going, general quarters, general quarters. Boom! Oh, it was fun.
My son and I bonded one July 4th where we recreated the Hindenburg explosion.
Oh, the humanity!
Same basic idea. Yeah, it's too bad about fireworks. I just kept getting it. It's the George C. Scott thing. You just hate it that a few slip-ups ruined the whole program when it came to fireworks. God, there's nothing more fun.
Yeah, and of course, do you remember Ladyfingers?
Well, of course.
Because those were cool, because if you had any kind of fingernails at all, you could grip them in your fingernails and hold them, and they would go off and not hurt you. And you could amaze your friends.
You could amaze. I knew people who just held pop bottle rockets in their between their fingers and shot them off. But I had a little bit more respect for fireworks than that. Because the problem with the beer and the fireworks problem, the whiskey and fireworks problem.
Yes, 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 and yes.
You really have to keep an eye out.
And see, when you do the beer and fireworks thing, the reason you're doing the beer is because you need the bottle for the bottle rockets, which means you got to drink the beer real fast so you can start to the bottle rockets.
God, I mean, it's just so logical, isn't it?
I are a redneck, okay? I never claim to be anything else.
Yeah, well, it's everybody's got a little redneck in them. It's okay. That's all right. If as long as you're not being a redneck is one thing, and being trapped in the wilderness is quite another. By the way, and I will let you go to get some other calls. And the only thing I need to say now, besides my usual tag, is you can fade out that song starting at about 3:45.
Sounds good, but I don't know. I don't know as how I want to necessarily end it any time early. I think this would be a lovely place for it, though, don't you?
Well, I know people have started to get hungry with all that talk about that ground beef, and so let's move. We got to move into chicken land, I think.
I think so. And yeah, 8-piece box be around, all right, wouldn't it?
I think that's about the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Reverbo, have a great holiday weekend.
Well, you too, and as always, make it personal.
We keep it that way, Reverbo. Thank you, brother.
All right. Take care.
Horn critic at large, Reverbo. And we will come right back to the phones, but highly recommended this from Southern Culture on the Skids. Yeah, I'll take an 8-piece box. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is Activist Radio. This is The Horn.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Got to hour three a little early this evening instead of late, as is usually the case. 4 minutes before the hour, 4 minutes before the top of hour three. And the tempest is definitely fugiting this evening. Always remember, time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like a banana. Well, I got a feeling Reverbo just turned the radio off again. I got to learn to do better than that. At any rate, we do have folks on the line. At least I hope we have folks on the line. Let's find out. No time like the present. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. This is Alan.
Hey, Alan, what's up?
I've been driving down the Mountain Near Expressway today in West Virginia.
Mountain Near Expressway. What is that, I-79?
U.S. 19. I might be calling.
Oh, yeah, sure. U.S. 19, know it well.
The big bridge. I just went across the big bridge.
Oh, you just crossed the New River Gorge Bridge.
Yeah. Is that the one that's on the corner?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And were you north or southbound?
I was northbound, and then southbound, and then I did a U-turn and came back to the park they have here, and walking the dog right now.
Well, if you cross the bridge, let's see. So you were southbound, and you came back northbound, so you'll go back southbound again, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, when you get about halfway across the bridge, do this very carefully. Look off to your right and slightly. Oh, I'd say look off to about your 4 o'clock position, about on your right, and you'll see this ugly scar going up a mountain. That's the logging road up Golly Mountain, and it's back behind there. And you can see how it's kind of scrubby and nasty at the top of the ridge line, and it doesn't look like a mountain ridge ought to look. Back behind there is where they got all their filth going on.
Oh, a thing like coal mine? Or?
Yeah, mountaintop removal.
Oh, wow. That's pitiful.
That's the mountaintop removal job that we are battling so hard.
That's a beautiful, beautiful countryside around here. It's just like.
Yeah, well, you know, if as you cross and go southbound back across the bridge, keep your eye peeled and you'll see a Shell station on your left. If you follow that road back up behind there, there's a fellow who's got a biplane. You know, twin wings.
Yeah.
And he does plane rides.
Oh, wow.
And it's relatively inexpensive, and it is beautiful countryside until you see it above, from the sky, and then you see what a nightmare they've made.
Mm-hmm. So does that guy let people go up there and take pictures of it?
Gosh, yes. That's his whole reason for being.
Oh, great. Maybe he'll do a good job at that.
If you're not afraid of flying and you got the time to stop, well, I don't know, a little late in the day maybe, but...
Uh-huh.
It's something to see from the air. It'll take your breath away.
Wow. Well, I just got through listening to a rerun of a Free Thought Radio episode, what they have on Air America, and they had this guy from Harper's Magazine, and he wrote a book, and it's called Jesus Killed Muhammad, and it's about an issue where this guy in Iraq, he wrote that on his army tank in Arabic, Jesus Killed Muhammad.
Nice.
So you can imagine a lot of people are shooting at him, but he was in an army tank, so he killed a lot of people. And he just got through watching that movie about Jesus being killed and all this stuff. That famous movie that they sent everybody in their mailbox.
Oh, yeah, that hateful racist, yeah.
Well, that was interesting. Oh, it's unbelievable. And then on the news this morning, I was reading about Valerie Plame. It looks like the Obama administration is not going to pursue that case, right?
Right.
Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have. It's kind of shameful, really. The Obama administration has announced their opposition to Valerie Plame Wilson's and Joseph Wilson's lawsuit against the Bush administration. They don't. The Obama administration says they shouldn't have the right to sue. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington broke this story on the web. They wrote on the 20th of May, 2 days ago, Crew learned today that Obama administration is opposing our request that the Supreme Court reconsider the dismissal of the lawsuit Wilson versus Libby et al. In that case, the district court had dismissed the claims of Joe and Valerie Wilson against former Vice President Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, and Richard Armitage for their gross violations of the Wilson's constitutional rights. Agreeing with the Bush administration, the Obama Justice Department argues the Wilsons have no legitimate grounds to sue. It is surprising, Crew writes, that the first time the Obama administration has been required to take a public position on this matter, the administration is so closely aligning itself with the Bush administration's views.
You know what I think is going to happen is Obama is going to make it, trying to be like a Republican, he's going to make a mess out of the Democrats, and then we're going to have Republicans in office again, and I'd wish for my plane ticket out of here.
I get that feeling myself sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And then my tax lady the other day, she told me about, if I understood her correctly, that people who sold stocks last year, right before the market crashed.
Yes.
They don't have to pay capital gains on that. So the people who sold their stocks early and left people with their 401ks, out to dry, those people do not have to pay taxes on that.
Yeah, in other words, the people who did to stockholders what Ken Lay did to Enron pensioners,
mm-hmm.
sold out early. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. And then they keep talking about Pelosi, that case.
Yes.
About her not knowing or something about the torture. I don't really get it myself.
Well, what that is, Alan, is an attempt to divert the attention of the nation from the people who did the torturing to questions regarding Nancy Pelosi and what she knew about the torture and when she knew it and whether she sanctioned it. It's classic, typical right-wing Republican tactics.
Well, what that makes me think of is the O.J. Simpson case, where the issue got off of O.J. Simpson and went to Mark Furman.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's similar thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. I hate to bring off the bad news I've been thinking about. Maybe good news is around the corner. But I'm glad to be in such a beautiful state. Hope they keep the mountaintops intact.
Well, sadly, there's 500 mountains already gone and more slated for destruction. That's what makes it so important that we succeed in this fight, Alan.
Yeah, and I hear in the energy bill that they're gonna have a lot of money for clean coal.
Yeah, and well, carbon capture and storage, carbon capture and sequestration. I believe $10 billion for that stupidity, and it is. It's just stupid, Alan. $10 billion for something that even the people who are behind the idea say can't work until 2050. It's stunning in its stupidity.
And I wonder about electric cars too. I mean, if everybody, it seems like burning gasoline is cleaner than burning coal. So if everybody goes to electric cars, then they're going to be burning more coal to make electricity.
And that's why we have to stop making electricity with coal and make it with wind and sunshine.
Wind.
And geothermal.
Wind and solar.
Yeah.
Yes. And also conservation, too. Just quit using so much energy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you get next to the next caller, and I'm going to walk the dog and turn the radio back on and listen to you.
Well, I hope Miss Lula enjoys her walk. It's a lovely place to walk a dog, and it's a lovely evening to be doing it from the looks of things out there. A little bit cloudy, but pretty nice all the way around.
Yeah, and I got a mess to straighten out. I'm hauling some medical equipment, and I stopped too fast a while ago and shifted a lot of that stuff around. So I got my hands full. Hope I didn't damage you.
Well, stand by a minute. I'm being corrected by John Fox about that. He says that's not true, and I'm trying to find out what isn't true. So stand by with me while I wait for John. He's typing now.
Yeah, tell him hello for me.
Oh, okay. He's saying that more electric cars would not be more pollutive because of coal-fired power plants. He says, in fact, the grid would be minorly impacted if battery charging is done overnight. And I understand what he's saying there, and that is a valid point. Because you know, there's less usage overnight. There's less electric usage overnight anyway, and that's just power that's not doing anything.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So you know, that's one more right wing bunch of hooey gone away. Yeah. If all petrol vehicles were replaced by electric.
Also, they could put solar panels on parking decks, so when people go to work, while they're working, they could charge up from solar panels.
Right. There's less, as John notes, less loss of excess generation, and the grid would be in better shape overall. Alan, thank you very much. Enjoy your time here in what's left of wild, wonderful West Virginia. And please drive safely.
Okay. All right.
All right. You take
care. You too.
All right. Bye now.
All right. Goodbye.
And let's keep things rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
It's Wayne.
Hey, man. What's up?
I just watched a very interesting thing on the Keith Olbermann show.
Yeah? What was that?
Man cow being waterboarded?
Yeah. We ran the article ran the audio at the beginning of the program.
Oh, okay, man. I'm sorry I missed it. It was exciting to see. He lasted a whole 6 seconds.
Yeah, most people last 14, but a wingnut can't quite. You know how it is with right-wingers.
Well, and, you know, you got to, you know, here's a guy in a controlled environment with medics standing by, you know, all friends and
Not strapped to the table.
Right, you know. I mean, it's a little different when you're drug out of your cell and beaten and blindfolded and thrown on a table and don't know what, you know.
And have it done to you every 4 to 6 hours for a month.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Just to sort of recap, Wayne, the only thing I did point out is that Mancal Muller did not make the next step. He said it's torture, but he did not say that we should prosecute and try the people who did the torture, who ordered the torture.
Bring them back in the room.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, apparently it didn't work, Mancow. Now we're going to find out, since you've said it's torture, we're going to do this a little bit longer and a little bit meaner, and we're going to find out if you think that the people who do this kind of crap should be put in prison.
Right, and, you know, What if he was getting out of his car and a couple of guys with black hoods abducted him and threw him in a van and took him someplace, and then what, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole, you know, and I don't, I'm not advocating that.
No, none of us are, but.
That, yes, it's a whole different situation, you know.
A little bit, yes.
And, well, and imagine, and being with a bunch of people that who speak a language that you don't even understand.
Right, who are screaming at you in that language you don't understand.
Yes.
You know, because that's the way Americans are when we go overseas. We don't speak French, so we go to France and speak English louder.
Well, I'm waiting for Sean Hannity to try to break Mancow's record now.
And that's the one thing. Mancow Muller, being the publicity whore that he is, I was a little surprised that he didn't say, you know, Sean, you got to try it.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill O'Reilly, you got to try it.
Exactly.
Because that would have really driven his ratings through the roof.
Exactly. And that's what matters more than anything.
But maybe Mancow Muller is syndicated by the same radio group that syndicates Sean Hannity. Maybe that's why that didn't happen.
Yeah, I wonder if he is. But, well, I don't know. There's only three, right? Or two.
Getting real easy to count here.
Yeah, it is. Oh, God. Well, I didn't know if you were aware of that or what, but I've been, listening. And who were you just talking to?
That was Alan. That was our buddy Alan the trucker.
Okay, and why is he in, is he here working?
Or no, he's on a route, and
on a route.
Yeah, just crossed the New River Gorge Bridge and decided to turn around, come back to the sort of green space there, and walk the beautiful standard poodle that is his traveling companion.
All right.
And take a little break and then head back down the road.
First time here?
Oh no, he's been through here before. I've met Alan.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a real good guy.
Yeah. Well, he has some real good ideas. I like him. I wished.
Well, the beautiful thing is that when he gets to go where he calls home, home is Alabama. And I just love liberals that live in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and Tennessee.
There's a growing number of them. Well, I think there always were a good number. They've become emboldened.
Yes, emboldened.
As of late.
Yes, that's that Serbian word.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Meaning?
To have balls.
Yes, exactly. See, we had to do that because Ferg's over here answering the phone.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, and we've been appreciating Ferg's juvenile sense of humor for the last couple of days.
Well, that's...
I talk about the former vice president, and he comes unglued every time I say dick.
Yeah.
See? It's like pushing a button.
Well, not only is that his name, he is one.
Yeah, Dick Cheney before he... You.
Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
I win.
Hi, Ferg.
How are you?
Well, anyway, Ben, I thought I had a breaking news story, but you know, cause I just
well, it did home. It did break this afternoon, and it's interesting to see, and you know, did Olbermann play the whole video, Wayne?
Oh yeah.
Did you notice the fact that?
Well, I guess that you know, I mean.
Well, when they started pouring the water, did you notice that they didn't just. He gave him a break by pouring it on his Adam's apple for a while.
Yeah, and there was no rag stuffed in his mouth. You know, I mean, well.
Yeah, it was the, I don't know, the Whopper Jr. version, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's, well, good. I think that... I think he ought to invite Jesse Ventura on his show next.
Yeah. I personally think Jesse needs to do a return engagement on Hannity and just bring the stuff with him.
Yes. And that...
Now, Sean, we're going to waterboard you today.
The one on the Fox and Friends was really great. I mean, that Brian Killamy?
Yeah, that little weasel.
Oh, my God. I mean, he's just a little weenie. You know, did you see any of them clips? I think it was on Crooks and Liars when Arnold Schwarzenegger was a guest on the show.
No.
I mean, oh, my God. You know, I mean, the Brian guy, well, it was really sickening. I don't know what I can't describe it. Ferg's in the room.
No, he's being mad at me right now because I told him not to talk when I've got the microphone open.
Oh, well, he's young yet. Listen to your father, son.
Now, you know, Joe Scarborough had a hissy about what Jesse Ventura did on Fox, and now he's talking about Dick Cheney and his little speech yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this scene yesterday, I'm serious here, this comes straight out of A Few Good Men. The reason why the closing scene with Jack Nicholson on the stand worked so well is, of course, we were all rooting for the young, attractive Tom Cruise, just like more Americans are probably rooting for President Obama. But at the same time, what was said on that stand by Nicholson, I was struck by that contrast. I think Joe missed the meaning of that movie, because Jack Nicholson, that character, was a crook.
Yes, he was. But so is Joe Scarborough.
Yes. So, yes.
You know, I mean, or at least he has the morals of one.
Well, you know, go sometime and read the whole history of the death of Lori Klausutis.
Well, when you mentioned that the other day, and I had heard about it before, and I went, well, there is lots to read.
You could probably just Google Joe Scarborough dead intern.
Yeah. No, it's not hard to find. I mean, information about it and stuff like that.
Well, but there's even more to it than initially meets the eye. She was beautiful. She was in perfect health. She's found dead in his, office.
So, and she was in there all by herself and fell and hit her head and died.
Right. But do you know about the person who made that determination, who made that official determination of cause of death?
It was a coroner brought in from another state, right?
A coroner brought in from another state because in the other state, Missouri, I believe, the coroner had been legally stripped of his right to be a coroner.
Okay, but didn't this occur in Florida?
Yes.
Yes.
But the Jeb Bush administration made sure there was a ringer to do the autopsy.
Okay.
And, she died of natural causes.
And how old was she?
26, 28? Beautiful young woman. And suddenly, Joe Scarborough decided he didn't want to be a congressman anymore. Wanted to spend more time with his family.
Yeah.
And that's why he's, doing a show for MSNBC now. Nowhere near his family.
That is about the most confusing network in the world, I guess. Well, I guess you could say they're fair and balanced.
Well, that's the thing. They've got a raving wingnut horse's rear end in Joe Scarborough.
Yeah, and what's his name? Hardball guy isn't far behind
them. Chris the Screamer.
Right. And then you have Keith Olbermann and Rachel. Go figure.
Yeah.
No. Like I said, I guess it's fair and balanced, but that Scar, I mean, I get up early in the morning, that, and, I flip it on, making coffee and doing whatever and all that stuff. And, I mean, like, sometimes I have to shut it off because I can't handle it.
Yeah, you see parts of the day that I only see if I stay up all night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you do it the other way.
When I see a sunrise, it's because I've forgotten to go to bed.
Exactly.
But, no, I can't imagine what it would be like to, you know how it is with television around here. If it doesn't have a purple stuffed animal or a dancing little monster thingy and children's songs, it doesn't play on the TV here.
Right, yeah.
So,
I'm starting to experience that.
Trust me, after a while, you will understand why one of the things they did to torture the Guantanamo concentration camp victims was play the Barney theme song over and over and over again.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that was on the list. two listens, and you'll leave the room. I promise.
That's torture, right?
They are some evil, evil people.
Oh, God. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and it's kind of a beautiful thing that you can take something like the theme song to a children's program and turn it into something hateful. You know, you've really got to be a special brand of evil to pull that off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. So,
I mean, you've got to be platinum evil. You know,
well, we have a lot of those people, unfortunately.
Yes, well-developed senses. Yeah, well, yeah, it's like that movie. You know, I didn't spend 4 years in evil medical school for you to call me Mister.
That's exactly right. Oh God. Yeah. Well, boss, I'll let you move on to someone else.
All right, you have yourself a very good Memorial Day weekend.
All that I will.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, boss.
Okay, same to you, man.
Later.
All right, bye.
Bye. That's the boss. That's Wayne. Think about that. They took the theme song to a children's song and made it something evil and hateful. I can't even do that on my most cynical, sarcastic day. What kind of... what's that old line? What was the radio program? The Shadow? What evil lurks in the minds of men? The Shadow knows. Yeah, Dick Cheney knows, too. Let's see. Hopefully we still got somebody on the line here. Yep. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
Brother Luke, how are you?
Well, I tell you, the one thing that's bugging me on some of this week is, isn't it amazing how, I don't know what you want to say, I guess Pavlovian trained our news media is? Here you have Dick Cheney and Newt Gingrich for the last couple of weeks are out there talking, and our news media treats them like they're still in office. I mean, here we are sitting, the two men who's probably the biggest examples of pathological liars that we know of, and you can't get anybody in the media when they talk about them to mention that, oh, by the way, this is the same Dick Cheney who once claimed he knew to the inch where the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq were, but he couldn't tell the weapons inspectors because that wouldn't have been right for them to find them. You know, this is the same Dick Cheney who used to have Judith Miller in, give her stories, then show up on the news shows 3 or 4 days later and say, well, in a story in the Washington Post, this was revealed. It's like, well, of course it was revealed. You revealed it!
And yet he's treated like an expert on something.
Oh, yeah? Well, and look at Newt. There's Newt who, you know, every time he turns around, Newt, I love his newest one now, apparently Newt is on a morality kick, and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. We're talking about Newt Gingrich, who's on his third wife.
Why does that, Luke, why does that never get mentioned?
Because I honestly think that during the early 90s, that Newt Gingrich scared them so bad that they were going to lose access, that they're afraid to say anything against him. Because for somewhere in the back of their little minds, they think he still can cut them off.
God almighty. That's just
and
pitiful.
I think that's the same thing with Cheney. They think that, you know, if we don't listen to him, he won't talk to us anymore. Like,
why do you want him to?
That's what I mean. Like you say, they're treating these people like they're experts, and every time they've done something, they prove what little they know. I mean, here you have Dick Cheney, you know, who was the person who was pushing all these things through the CIA, who, of course, never lie.
No.
But, of course, amazingly enough, these are the people who were briefing a fellow named Colin Powell before he went before Congress and the UN. Now, isn't it amazing how some of the facts that they left out? Well, it didn't lie if we don't tell you the truth.
Yeah, oopsie.
We didn't tell you the truth.
Yeah, oops, sorry. Our bad.
If we only tell you half the story, that's not lying, just because we tell you the parts that's not good for us. Oh, I tell you, it's, like you say, it's one of these things where like I say, every time they go on, I wrote one this morning, of course it didn't get taken, I wrote it to Chris Eliza, and I said, you know, why are you taking this man's word like he knows anything? Every time he's opened his mouth, he's proven his biggest power is to pathologically lie and you all to swallow it. I mean, oh.
I'm sure you've got no response, but as we say around here, at least you got your licks in.
I know. It's one of those things where all you can do is just keep trying. But, you know what I mean? It's one of those things that you really would like to know. Ask, you'd love to be at one of these forums, you know, and ask somebody from the national media. Why do you all listen to these people? Like I said, you're sitting here listening to Newt Gingrich about morality. This is Newt Gingrich, who served his first wife papers while she was recovering from cancer surgery.
In the hospital bed, yes.
Sir, his second wife, we know, was totally a trophy wife. That the dude, and this, the other.
And he cheated on her to bang on his intern while he was prosecuting Bill Clinton. Have I got that part right?
Well, and the other thing is that most things, one thing they really don't want you to know is the fact that at the time, I remember them mentioning this, that they figured about at least half of the Washington news media knew Newt was having the affair, but didn't mention it out of, you know, it's not our business to go into Newt's personal life. Of course, we can go back 20 years in Bill Clinton's life. But, oh, no, what's the thing I saw the day that somebody sent to Saliza, and Saliza had no clue what it was. You know,
I-O-K-I-Y-A-R?
Yeah. He had no clue what it was, apparently.
But Saliza finds his way on the Olbermann show, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. But you know what I mean? This is one of the things that even some of the what we consider our liberal people have a blind spot on. You know what I mean? It's like, say, you know, occasionally it's like, why don't you all mention the fact that, you know, this is Dick Cheney, you know, like say, whose shadow probably will not show. I mean, hold him up to a mirror, he won't show up in the reflection.
I know.
Off topic slightly.
Yes.
Into the story today, and this one I had not seen before. The thing about the GPSs.
No. Yes. Go.
About the fact that apparently they have they have not been putting up enough satellites to keep the GPS system operating within the next year. That apparently there's not enough time.
They oversold their market.
Satellite. Yeah. Apparently, that there's not going to be enough time on satellite to have full coverage on GPS. So all of you got those nice little map things in your car, they may not work after a while.
And what happens? And what happens with the price you paid for the little gizmo, or perhaps the $10 a month subscription price that you pay? What, do you get a refund? No, I don't think so.
Don't know yet. We'll wait and see. Because I'm totally sure.
No, you don't get a refund because you're a rube consumer.
Well, I'm sure if you ask them. Somebody in the business, they'd say, oh, no, that's not going to happen. And the first time...
That's just Y2K all over again. It's just, it's phony.
And the first time you call the company and ask what's happening, I'm sorry, this number's been disconnected. You can please...
Yeah, please call your cable company.
You know, but like I say, it's one of these things. And the thing on ManCow, that was, like you say, it was interesting to see how about 2 seconds, and oops, we had to wash his Adam's apple, then oops, back on the face... So actually, he lasted maybe 3 seconds.
Yeah, because he didn't. And again, as Wayne pointed out, no rag in the mouth.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing was, like I say, he had people around him. And like I say, you weren't kept in a room at 35 degrees for the last 6 hours naked, were you?
Yeah, you don't know whether it's, you know. I mean, you can actually tell whether it's day or night outside. You're not hearing voices in your head yet.
We didn't walk you into the room with a bag over your head, so you didn't even know what was going to happen when we set you down. You know.
I mean, why don't they do these things with at least an approximation? That's a very good point, Luke. Why not at least a bag over the head? You know, put them in the hallway, put the bag on their head, turn them around 16 times so they don't know where they're going.
Well, it's like at the same time, he knew who the fellow was doing it. I want, if they ever get Hannity to do it, I want him to go into a room not knowing who's in that room. I want him to think it's Jesse Ventura or it's somebody from Paris Island that does this all the time. You know, somebody who's professional at it that really gets into it.
Yeah, did you notice that he didn't even bother to learn the Marine sergeant's name? Thank you, Marine.
Yeah.
God, the ego of these people.
Well, that's what I mean. It's one of those things. You know, if Hannity were ever to do it, which of course he won't, it'd be the same thing. You know, it'd be one of those things where he'd he'd have him film it from the side. So amazingly enough, if you hit it straight on, it's probably hitting on the side of his face.
Yeah, he'd have some real industrial strength toupee tape, maybe.
Or probably what he'd do is have a cloth over his bag that, amazingly enough, when we open it up, my God, there's a sheet of plastic in here. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, bud, it's the bottom of the hour, and I know you got more people on the line. So I'm going to let you have a good weekend.
And you as well. And, as Reverbo advises, stick with the chicken and ribs on the grill this holiday weekend. Don't go with the frozen hamburgers.
Well, it's one of those things. The thing this week is for pretty much sit around here and see what's going to, I guess all weekend, if we want to watch the different cable channels, we're going to sit and watch all the nice war movies this weekend, which is what they normally do.
Charming.
And I see Bill Moyers tonight is talking about single-payer health care. about talking about it's not under the health care reform plans under consideration.
Right. I had that essay from Salon today earlier in the program where he writes about it rather convincingly and sharply. You know, there's nothing like taking a guy's own words and handing them to them and say, do you remember these? They came out of your mouth.
Well, you know, it's like you were saying a while ago. It's one of those things that, you know, he wasn't my candidate, but I totally support Obama when he to get in. But it's getting to the point now. It's like I say, he's turning into a worse Republican life than Bill Clinton was. You know, at least Bill Clinton didn't change a whole lot of stuff. You know, when he went in, he stayed pretty much what he'd said. A whole bunch of Obama's things every time we're talking.
Not even one bone thrown to the liberal base that put him in office.
No. Like I said, I'm
you know, don't ask, don't tell. You know, give us something to make us understand that you are paying attention.
You know, it's like say, you know, and I'm beginning to wonder if it may be maybe this year or if in 2 years, some of the liberal groups are just going to have to stand up and go, you know what? Let's see how you do this with a Republican Congress, because we're not going to be giving money to some of your people running for office. Those 90 people that voted not to close Gitmo, see, those nice people that were Democrats, they might see their money cut down a little bit. Let's see how well they can run this year.
Nice thought. Nice thought.
You know what I mean?
I've been thinking about the whole health care thing because, well, you know, I try to think about things like bumper stickers. And when I applied for that Netroots Nation scholarship, they asked you to come up with a bumper sticker for their Stand with Dr. Dean universal health care proposal.
Oh, okay.
And I got to thinking about what you'd put on a bumper sticker. And I like those bumper stickers that are black with white letters on them. You know, I don't want anything. Yeah, I want you to just read it and drive by. Don't rear end me. You know, no small print. But how about this for a slogan? Do you trust Wall Street? Then why do you trust them with your health?
That's a good one.
Because that's what we're talking about here, Luke.
Well, you know,
for-profit health care.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, if you don't trust Wall Street, why are you trusting Big Pharma? Because, I mean, that's who it is.
Because that's where they live, you know, Wall Street.
I know, but you know what I mean? You know, people say, well, we don't want to, you know, don't want it because we don't, you know, don't want somebody else picking your doctors. It's like, why not? Insurance companies do it for you right now. If you got a doctor that's not under their plan, you can go to them, but we won't cover it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like, you know, that shouldn't be an option. You know what I mean? If you got a doctor who's got his medical license, you should be able to go to him, and they should cover it.
You know, I was talking to someone earlier today, Luke, and I know you got to go, but I was talking to someone earlier today, and this person told me, well, this person had recently been through a horrific, horrifying, hellish, life-threatening illness. And that illness required physicians who actually knew about the disease to be brought in who were off plan.
Mm-hmm.
And this person had, you know, real health care. Guess what they said?
Mm.
Well, we don't pay. And this family was nearly crippled by the off plan physicians that were required to save this person's life. How is that, and this is either because I'm stupid or naive or idealistic, something, but how is that tolerable? When someone you love is laying in a hospital bed and doctors are looking at you using the word death and your loved one's name in the same sentence, what level of malicious cruelty is it, Luke, to make a person then worry about paying an off-plan physician?
We'll let them save your life, but we're not going to pay for it, so you're going to be under Chapter 11, essentially, for the next 15 years, and all your family will be, too.
I mean, is that as offensive to you as it is to me?
Yeah. I mean, you know,
the right wing was very good at it when we were opposing the Iraq war and all that stupidity, that bloody-minded murder. They were very good at telling us we were un-American. Well, how un-American is it to make a person who is literally at death's door support for-profit health care in order to get away from death's door? That's all I mean, is that a wrong question to ask? Am I just being mean?
Well, we're going to save your life, but we're going to take your life away from you when you do it. You know, you're going to live, but you're going to live as a pauper for the next 20 years.
You're going to live, and you're going to live on peanut butter and jelly.
I mean, it's essentially, you know, it's like, you know, you and I both know about this from the mine days. You know, this is essentially working for the company store. Oh, yeah, you can buy it at ours, but you'll buy it at our price. And you can't buy anywhere else. Because we're going to pay you in script, and you can't use that anywhere but in our stores.
Yeah, we got a little history about that.
You know. Oh, the other thing that got me yesterday, you know, we were talking, I heard you talking earlier about the thing with Obama. On that, you know, you were talking about the thing about the Minority Report thing, you know, the pre-crime.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, well, what you're saying then, Mr. Obama, is you have people that we can't legally convict them unless we go through a military court. So what you're saying is you can only win a case if you have it rigged. Oh!
Yeah, in other words, it's wrestling.
Shoot, wrestling's at least more honest than that. You know, I mean, that's one of these things where, we can convict you. Of course, it's one of these things where we can put anything we want to, and you can't say a word. You object, we'll tell you to shut up and sit down.
Yeah, your job is sitting down and shutting up.
I mean, if you got film showing you it wasn't you doing it, we don't care. We don't want to see it. We've already made the decision. It's the old thing, you know, we've already made the decision. Now we're going to reverse engineer how to get there.
That's called fixing the facts to fit the policy, isn't it? Isn't it the language
somewhere.
From the...
Yeah.
Isn't there a little memo somewhere? Yeah, yeah, I thought...
Something about Tony Blair. Yeah, I remember that. But you know what I mean? It's just amazing. It's like I say, it's the thing I'm being more disappointed in this administration than anything else is the fact that here they are, you know, coming in, oh, we're going to change things, all that. And it's like, no, we just changed the names. It's pretty much the same way. We're going to do whatever to get to the center. And it's like, there is no center. You know, whoever sold you that bill of goods, forget it. There is no center. There's right and left. There's just varying degrees of it. You know, it's and like I say, he's cowtowed so far to the right now that, like I say, you know, he's, you know, it's getting to the point that, you know what I mean? We were talking about, you know, a couple of months ago, we were talking about the fact that the GOP, you know, pushing up daisies. We're getting to the point where he's about to split the Democratic Party in half. There's the liberal wing and the non-liberal wing, apparently.
Well, there's the Democratic wing and the who are you wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luke, have a great weekend, brother.
All right, you too.
Take care.
See ya.
Bye now. Brother Luke in East Tennessee. Well, it's about 23 minutes before the hour. The program fast slipping away from us. This is another one of those, you know, where'd it go shows. But there are a couple of things out there that bear mentioning. This from, well, wait a minute. Let's see what's going on here. Phone ringing. Got to take the call. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. It's Cassie.
Hey, Cassie.
How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
Pretty good. I thought I was going to talk to Ferg, but you answered.
Yeah, and, well, the Horn intern, junior grade Ferg, absented himself from the studio for a little bit. He got frustrated with me because I keep asking him not to talk when I've got the mic open. He's learning the business, Cassie. I mean,
well, I understand people who have trouble being quiet.
I won't ask Cal.
So I have some good news.
Yes.
I got the results from all of my tax tests today. And I got commended on all four of them.
Wonderful.
Which, yeah, it means that I don't ever have to take them ever again. I'm, like, completely done with taking the test. I only have two exams, even. Because the AP exams will be back before the teachers turn in our regular exam, you know, our regular grades. But that's not why I called.
Well, still, but I'm awfully proud for you.
Thank you. I wanted to talk to you about Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you, well, two questions. One is, do you think that if enough people complain to Obama and enough people write letters and enough people start protests, that Obama and Holder will have to investigate Cheney and Rumsfeld ordering all of the torture?
I think that they are resistant or resistive to the idea in general, Cassie, and that if that is going to happen, if the rule of law is going to prevail in this country, that is the only way it's going to happen, is if people raise an absolute, stinking under the nostrils of the almighty stench, raising a ruckus about the fact that we're giving this guy a pass. You know, the thing is, Cassie, he's willing, he's all over the place. He's willing to go on every TV show. He'll be on The View soon, I'm sure. Justifying torturing human beings. If he's if he's willing to do all that, then it should not be a problem for him to stand in the dock, having been sworn to tell the truth, with his liberty and his life on the line, and tell it again.
Right, or to tell it in front of Congress and on C-SPAN.
I prefer the trial situation, but I would be accepting of that, too. Yeah.
Okay, and if Bush or Rumsfeld or Cheney go to other countries, is it, I know that, like, they can get arrested if they go to France, but isn't it embarrassing to the United States if we have to have the other countries do our war crimes trial? Isn't that worse than having a war crimes trial? Or not having a war crimes trial? I mean, isn't it much worse to, like...
Well, but then again, you know, we could blame the other countries. So in a way, while I understand the gist of your argument, Cassie, it's easier. It's something that follows the path of least resistance. Well, you know, we can't control those crazy Spaniards, those crazy French, those crazy Germans, those crazy Italians, those crazy, you know, those crazy fill in name of country here. You know, if we could only interest the Israelis, they'd come and put a bag over his head and take him to Jerusalem and try him. But the Israelis are kind of proud of what they did, so it's, you know, sort of a shame.
Well, I think that it's going to be a shame on our country forever if we don't do something about it now.
It is, and what I find...
And Cheney's, like, out there bragging about it. It's like, if someone in school, you know, steals something or hurts somebody, they're not going to go bragging about it to everyone. And if they do, then that's when the principal gets involved. If people start bragging that they beat up other people. And Cheney's out there bragging about all of the torture, and he's clear, and he's saying that, yeah, I mean, he's saying that it was to keep the United States safe, but he's also saying that these were not people we convicted of anything, and these were, you know, if you torture someone 2 years after you arrested them, what are they going to know about? You have them in jail for 2 years.
And, you know, it extends past that, Cassie. What do you, see, even if you are caught red-handed doing something that's against the law in this country, we have a constitutional presumption that you are innocent until the state proves you guilty.
Right.
And we have laws that say that you can't imprison innocent people for no reason, or at least we used to. It was called habeas corpus.
Right, but you can have somebody on bail, or not on bail, but on without bail.
Yeah, but they have to be charged with a crime.
Right, and they have to have a chance to see the judge.
Right, but we've got people in the concentration camp at Guantanamo that we know not only do we presume they're innocent, we know they're innocent. We know they are not guilty. We know that we got them, and it's wrong, and we've still got them in prison. Their lives are ruined, and we have no plans of letting them out. They're called Uyghurs.
They're the Chinese ones, right?
Yes, from Western China, got swept up by the Pakistanis, sold for a bounty.
And let me ask you a question. I didn't hear Obama's speech yesterday, but I heard someone say that he said he's going to keep Bagram open, that he's going to close Guantanamo, but that doesn't mean that he's going to actually let anyone have their rights, that he's going to just move them all to Afghanistan, to Bagram.
Precisely.
And the concentration camp there. Is that right?
That's my understanding. Because the Senate Democrats caved in to the Senate Republicans and said, well, we can't put them in prisons where we've got other terrorists, because there was a blab out there the other day from Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, for whom I usually have considerable respect. But in the Republicans, Cassie, have been saying that the American prison guards would have, among other things, Senator Robert Bennett, Republican from Utah, said American prison guards would have no idea what they're getting into if concentration camp prisoners from Guantanamo were transferred to U.S. prisons. So Dick Durbin, the senior senator from Illinois, took to the floor of the Senate, and he said, some of my Republican colleagues argue that Guantanamo is the only appropriate place to hold the detainees, and they said, and I quote, we don't have a facility that could handle them, handle this in the United States, end of quote. And American prison guards, they went on to say, quote, have no idea what they're getting into, close quote. And Durbin said, well, I would just say to my colleagues who made those statements, you ought to take a look at some of our security facilities in the United States, and you ought to have a little more respect for the men and women who are corrections officers and put their blah, blah, blah.
Well,
just let me finish real quick. The thing that came to my mind was, yes, Senator Durbin, let's do talk about some of those American corrections officials. Let's talk about an American corrections official, a prison guard by the name of Lindy England. Let's talk about an American prison guard named Charles Grainer.
They're the ones that are in jail because they were following orders from the CIA, right?
Right, but they learned, they were prison guards at least I know Lindy England was, I'm pretty sure, prison guards at a maximum security facility in Maryland near the West Virginia border. American prisons are horrible, horrible, and I'm not swearing here, hell holes.
Yeah, I know that, but we're not going to talk about that, okay?
No. But the point is this idea that American prisons can't hold, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say here, Cassie, is that we're putting the cart before the horse, because we're talking about imprisoning people before they've ever had their guilt proven.
Right. So there are two things that I've heard about that. One is that there's a prison in Montana that wants them, so, and the guards are trained.
Yeah, the state of Montana said, heck yeah, we'll take them, send them up here.
That just means that we need to do a whole lot better at training guards and at overseeing it. But the argument that I heard, because we talked about this in my class today, and the argument, we talked about Guantanamo and sort of the whole Guantanamo issue. And one of the kids said that if you put the Guantanamo prisoners in an American prison, even if they stay there forever, they're going to train the other prisoners in how to be terrorists while they're in prison. Like, you know how some people learn how to pick locks in prison, or they learn like ways of hiding drugs or whatever.
Sure.
The American prisoners will learn how to be terrorists from the Guantanamo prisoners. But that doesn't make, I mean, it kind of makes sense, but it's also like, why are we more worried about that than we are about whether they're actually guilty of being terrorists? I mean, some of them are like goat herders, right?
Yeah, some of them are the Uyghurs. Really, really not guilty of anything. And, you know, that argument is specious anyway, Cassie, not yours, your fellow students. That argument is specious because, among other things, it belies an ignorance of what a so-called Supermax facility is. You know, where we keep Ted Kaczynski, you know, we warehoused Ted Kaczynski, where we warehoused the prisoners, the people that we convicted for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, those people, they ain't getting out.
and they're not having contact with other prisoners. It's practically solitary confinement. So I don't know how they would teach other prisoners to be terrorists.
So the people who don't want them to come here, they say it's because of American safety, but I'm like 99% sure that it's mostly about not giving them any rights.
Sure it is. If they get onto American soil, then there's some pettifogging lawyer out there who's going to argue that they're human beings in front of a judge, and then everything will just get ruined.
But don't people know that when we start saying that any other people, no matter who it is, aren't human beings, when we start saying that, oh, they're animals, or, oh, they're the devil, that's when things like the Holocaust happen, is when we don't admit that everyone's human and everyone is equal or everyone is worthy.
Well, Cassie, you've opened up a can of worms. Because the nature of your inquiry is such that you have to look at the American mind, and you have to look at the American cultural psyche or zeitgeist, or you know whatever word you want to use for it, and you have to come to terms with the fact. You say, don't they know? No, they don't know. And here's the important one: they don't care either. Okay, because we are so far down the rabbit hole that you've got an entire segment of American society that really is quite sure that they are God's elect, and God likes them better than anybody else, and that this wouldn't have happened to those people if those people weren't bad people to begin with.
But they don't even say they're people. I mean, it's when, in my social studies class this year, when we were learning about slavery, and then again when we were learning about the Holocaust, that was one of the themes that we talked about, was in order for any of those kinds of like mass killings and mass dehumanizations, anything like that to happen, the first thing that happens is that we don't consider everyone to be people.
Right. The first thing, and it happened. Look, consider the fact that American soldiers going through basic training had people of Middle Eastern extraction commonly referred to as Hajis. When you pick another word, whether it's Japs or Nips or Gooks or Chinks or Dinks or Hajis, when you pick another word to use for people instead of human being, your intent is obvious. Because in a warfare situation, or in a situation in which you plan on making warfare, you have to dehumanize the other side, because if you start thinking of them as people, it's going to be real hard to go slaughter them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Okay, I have a question about the people at Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
It's all men, right?
Yes. Now, some have been there since they were little. Some have been there since they were little boys.
Well, that's a whole different issue. But, like, there have been suicide bombers and terrorists that are women. So how come all the people that we put at Guantanamo are men? So that is one question. And then the other question is there anybody who's a prisoner at Guantanamo or at Bagram or any of those places who has white skin, like colored skin?
At one point, I believe his last name was Hicks. He is an Australian who converted to Islam and was picked up somewhere along the way in Pakistan, Afghanistan, whatever. He was, yes. And there are people of lighter skin, but, you know, what they all have in common is Islam or some variant on it.
I think that if we keep, just like
the Germans had some camps that were nothing but Jews, you know, no gypsies, no Romanians, no homosexuals, no political undesirables. The camps were just Jews. Well, we've got a prison camp that's just Muslims.
Well, I think that the rest of the world is going to never respect us if we keep that going. and if we don't put Rumsfeld and Cheney on trial. And Bush, but more Rumsfeld and Cheney.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I'm sad to agree with you.
I don't think we're going to respect ourselves either.
Well, we'd have to care first. Okay? Most of America doesn't think of the things, good, bad, or otherwise, as being done in their name. But it is. You know, remember, more people vote for American Idol than vote for the President of the United States. Fact.
Yeah. Even this time? I thought we had...
I don't know. Maybe this time, maybe it was a little different. But by and large, in any given election, more people from a given state will vote for, if they've got somebody from their state in American Idol, they'll take the time to vote for that person more likely than take the time to go to the ballot box and vote for their congressman or any candidate. Yeah, I know. Daunting, isn't it? I got one more blinking light here I'm going to try to get to, Cassie, but it's always good hearing from you, dear.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk soon. Have a good Memorial Day weekend.
You too.
Bye. Bye. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey, David, what's up? Sorry I got to you so late, but...
No, that's okay. I just wanted to call. I just wanted to say real quickly, I do believe since we have this extra month that we can also look forward to planning and generating ideas about fundraising. And one of the ideas I wanted to pass by on you was I think we should have a... instead of a telethon, of course, it would be called something like a hornathon, and it would be very grueling. Your whole family would have to be involved in it, and some of the hosts. It would be like a 24-hour thing. But here's the thing about it: we the callers and we the people who support the horn, our job would be to go to message board, respectable message boards. To get people to call in who have never called in before.
Ooh.
The other twist to that is, if we wanted to make it really, really interesting, we would try to get as many countries as we could, kind of like an around the world in 80 days thing.
Yeah, I like the idea. Maybe we can develop that.
And the last thing I wanted to mention, and I think it's important, was the actually two things: the Pittman and Cedar story. Bob, you have to run that Monday. You
okay.
have to run all 21 minutes of that debate. That's important. I'll tell you why it's important. Because it shows you what you can do when you get that much airtime, and you put together cohesive and critical thinking points, and counter that with just emotional outrage coming from the right. And it's an important debate for those people who haven't seen it, because this is the guy who was who tried to put the attack dogs on Jeanine Garofalo. And Sam Cedar handled it class act all the way.
Oh, Sam is.
Yeah, and like I said, it's an amazing debate. And the other story I wanted to mention, which I think points to bigger race, more race troubles than are coming down the pike with the, I don't know if you heard about the story in Milwaukee. Apparently, a family, a black family, they had to pull their kids out of school because they got death threats on the bathroom stall. Like five kids,
oh, for
five
God's
black
sakes.
Kids in the school. And here's the worst part about it: this was Thursday. This was last Thursday. They're finally doing something about it today, today. And they had the principal on, and they had the family on. And it really does point to something that people need to jump on these. You know, it kind of mirrors with your son's situation, only a tad, a bit, I guess, a bit darker on this one, because these were death threats they put on the bathroom stall. And they also said they had the KKK, we're going to kill some tonight. And so if people haven't heard that story, that's one of the stories that caught my eye.
Yeah, it's one of those, yeah, let's go out and sing.
Right. And then, but just to end it on a good note, there's a funny note. There's a story, I don't know if you caught this, somebody was running their car through City Hall, and someone released the security camera. Apparently this guy was mad that the cops told him to turn the radio down, and this dumbass did a straight Blues Brothers and went right through the City Hall, Bob, I kid you not. Right through the hallways. So you see people drinking at the water fountain? It's insane.
And diving out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah, diving out of the way. Worse than that.
In a cruiser, right? In a cop car.
People not even paying attention. I guess they couldn't hear the car coming for whatever reason. Going out of the hallways. Going out of their office.
iPod headphones are going to get somebody killed.
What's that?
iPod headphones are going to get somebody killed.
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah, my son, when he's got his iPod going, he's deaf to the world.
Well, yeah, that might be good to put something on the front page with that, so people can see. I guess the guy's facing 122 months in jail.
And you know what?
He deserves it.
You know, we used to have this joke about this law we wanted passed in West Virginia that we were going to call West Virginia Criminal Code Article 99A.
Yeah.
And Article 99A was going to be criminal dumbass. And we figured we could get rid of most of the crime problem in West Virginia just by charging people under criminal dumbass instead of more confusing crimes. Look, you're just a dumbass and you're a criminal. Goodbye.
Yeah. Well, I know you got to go, so I just want to say this real quickly. I'll put this on the forum, and I'll also sketch out the details how we can do this hornathon, what I have playing in my head.
Well, you know, last Friday night I pulled 8 straight hours.
I know, and what I'm saying is that there's a certain number, Bob. There's
I was 3 days getting over it, but I pulled straight eight straight hours.
I know, Bob, but what I'm trying to tell you is there's a certain number that makes people do funds. I've seen it. I'm a witness to it. I paid attention to a lot of different fundraising in my days, and if you have an angle that no one has, it's gold. And that's what I'm going to say.
Beautiful. Work it up. Send it to me. Can't wait to see it.
All right, Bob. Later.
All right. Take care, David. Bye now. Pop culture correspondent David calling from Maine. That's the program for tonight, everybody. Thank you to everyone for making June possible. I think we're over that hump. But that doesn't mean we get a break on June 1st. That means we met May. We met May's goal. So we can do June. July is at risk. That's just where we are. That's the place where we live right now. But thank you. Because I got to tell you, that kind of worry when you're dealing with something like this that's been, you know, your heart and your soul for nearly 6 years. It's tough. I came back to the microphone in May of 2003. This is 6 years now. My son has gone from a little boy to a young man in that period of time. My daughters have blossomed into womanhood. I have grandchildren now. That's what 6 years can be. Thank you for keeping it alive. Thanks to John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch, the hardest working, bravest people I know, fighting upstream every day because they understand that we are all downwind and downstream. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
go.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Another glorious afternoon in what remains of the wild, wonderful hills of West By God, Virginia. A minute and a half past the hour. It is Friday. It is the 22nd day of May, 2009. And it's time to wander on up to the front porch. Front Porch Friday on the horn. Every bit as scintillating as all the other 4 days of the week, especially the ones where I actually don't play hooky and show up. Sorry about Monday and Tuesday. I'm still feeling pretty daggum guilty about that. And it's a holiday weekend. So perhaps an extra dose of relaxation for this Friday. Sure hope so. Long weekend. I have no reason to think that we won't be here Monday night, however. We'll do our Memorial Day remembering before 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Monday. What are you doing this Memorial Day weekend? You know, one of those weird little signs of the times and the crippling of state and county governments as a result of filthy right-wing Republican policies used to be, and many of you may remember this, swimming pool season started Memorial Day weekend. That's when the pool got filled up and the youngins come out and took to splashing and leaping off the diving board and doing the can openers and the belly busters and the cannonballs. No. At least not around here. Now, I don't know exactly when they will open the county swimming pool. But it will not make, there will be no cannonballs, corkscrews, can openers, or belly busters this Memorial Day weekend here. Pool ain't open. Don't know when it will be. Kind of a shame, really. Public swimming pools. Somehow or another, I think that they are, I don't know, they're worth our effort, aren't they? A public swimming pool is worth every